Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 159. We did have a 1 week break there because I was out of town and Pat was out of town. And then there's too many buttons on the recorder for Adam. So, who's busy using his selfie stick?
Why are you calling it a selfie stick?
Because it's a selfie stick.
Because it's a selfie stick.
I do not approve of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was gone last week. I was having fun out in Portland with all my comic book people friends, which it really is, which is kind of funny. But I go there to see my friends, who I see once a year, and tweet and Facebook message and email.
And you
email.
Come back and barely remember it. Only if it's a good
You know what? No, well, yeah, I mean, that's true. But I got to say that the three-hour time difference thingy, I always kind of went, jet lag, what are you talking about? Man, it's not so much the jet lag, you know, like where you're just tired all the time or whatever that people kind of do. But, like, we go out there and then, well, it didn't help that I didn't get there till 1:30 in the morning there, which was 4:30 in the morning here after working Wednesday. That was fun.
Yeah.
But... so you're sitting there and it's like, hey, you know, let's do something. And
you can keep going.
You just took a selfie of us.
I took a picture.
Okay. With his selfie stick. But, you know, they're like, hey, you know, let's go out. And you're like, it's only 9 o'clock. I'm exhausted, but it's really midnight. So yeah, that first night I was like, I'm like, it's 10 o'clock. I gotta go. I'm sorry. I'm a loser, but I just was ready to pass out. Not, in, you know, for any other reason other than being tired.
My favorite tweet of yours was when you said you went up to the Boom RV.
Oh, yes. Yes, I think.
It's either the wrong RV or no one's there.
Yeah. Well, they weren't there. They were still eating at like 11 o'clock at night. And it was like, guys, I can't.
I need alcohol.
No, I wanted to talk to them. I just never had a chance to talk to them.
Did you ever get to go at the Boom RV?
No, I went in briefly, but I had followed
Isn't
somebody.
That the only reason why your you favorite go
part? Yeah, it is. It is. But I had followed somebody up there. Because I didn't know. No. No.
It's not that kind of RV.
No, it was Scott Allia, the editor-in-chief of Dark Horse from Portland, who he knew where he was going. Well, here's my problem. So I'd had too much to drink. I step out of the hotel, and I have a little direction thing, and I look at the direction. It says, head south on 6th Avenue. I'm like, fantastic. Yes. Which way is south?
So now you take out your compass.
I did. I took out my phone. I'm pulling out the compass, and I saw Scott, and I'm like, you go into the Boom RV, he's like, yeah, I think it's this way. I'm like, I'm following you. I'm like, you don't say to drunk people, head south on a street that you've never been to before. So,
Wait, at night,
during the day, I could have figured
Sometimes
it out.
Sometimes it's just fun to do that, though, just to see what hijinks ensue.
Yeah, so I made it there, but all of a sudden, everybody that was there kind of left. Not because I got there, but
sure.
I'm like, I better follow these people home or I'm going to be sleeping in the gutter. So I didn't want to sleep in the gutter. And then the other problem I had is I was waking up at 4 a.m., because that's 7, and I was worried I didn't want to oversleep, and I couldn't fall back asleep. So I did thank both Valiant and Boom for helping me sleep one night, making sure I didn't sleep. I didn't wake up at 4 a.m.
That's a better way to phrase that.
Yeah. Well, no, making sure I didn't wake up at 4 a.m., and if you notice, the tweet was at 2 a.m., so I knew I was not going to wake up early that day.
Gotcha.
Well, it was 2 a.m. here, but 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. there. So... that was the hijinks. Really, nothing happened, but I had a good time that way.
Sandy listens to the podcast.
No, she doesn't.
Happened.
No, nothing.
What happens?
Nothing happened.
Stays at
I brought I brought home a severed arm, but that's a story for another day.
That's how you're going to word that?
Yeah, isn't it what it is?
That is what it is.
Brought home a severed arm. We'll talk about that maybe some other day.
Yeah, we'll get. We'll,
that's another story.
Yeah, that's another story. So they find the rest of them.
That's the kind of craziness that happens.
That's right. What stays in Portland? What happens in Portland stays in Portland. But I'm Colin McMahon, owner.
The arm doesn't stay.
I don't think the FBI agrees with you on that. But
owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight is
Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
Okay, no, Chuck Palahniuk from who writer of Fight Club was there because they're doing a Fight Club 2 book. He's not coming here.
You had
he was there.
The story. Now you're worried.
But he had his thing that he would do is he'd sign these plastic arms and or rubber arms and throw them into the crowd for some reason. But so we all as we went in at our seat was these posters and something else and
a rubber arm
signed by Chuck Palahniuk. He was very good at signing rubber arms.
Did that get past security at the airport?
You know what? It did for me, but it was funny. Some other guys posted pictures of the arm in their suitcase with a note from TSA. You know, they checked their bag and they did open it up. So I didn't have any questions, which I thought was funny. I even brought home some, I should probably shouldn't reveal this secret, but
let's just say that they didn't catch what they should have caught.
Well, no, Valiant gave us box cutters, Ninjak box cutters.
Yeah, so.
Right, and I had thanked them for mailing them to us instead of giving them to us at Comics Pro. Well, they also gave them to us at Comics Pro, and I had like three in my bag, sailed right through.
What?
So I know I could have like gouged at the door.
I would just stop.
What?
They didn't ask you if you had anything like that? Well, they usually ask,
they
like,
do
you
have
anything? I goofed, though, because I had to go through that whole body scanner thing where you lift your arms up and everything. I forgot to take out my wallet, so that was a big red flag, and I'm like, I'm sorry. Well, the thing was, there was no line, and I literally walked up, I'm taking off my shoes.
I really don't get the airport security, then, because you're saying that they went through, and some people, they checked the rubber arms.
That was if they checked their bag.
Okay. So if you would have had your bag checked, they probably would have saw that you had box cutters.
Right.
Okay.
No, those were, well, those, yeah.
Because I'm going to say,
they were in that same suitcase.
That plastic container, and there's an actual razor blade in
it. But you'd think whenever they x-rayed his bag that they would have saw the silhouette of the blade inside the plastic case.
You know, the longer we talk about this, the more likely that, you know, DHS is going to be knocking on the door.
Well,
they don't
didn't take down the plane.
Yeah, nothing happened. It was fine, other than a connecting flight was late. But so
Pat's calling you a terrorist.
That Pat.
He's got the beard.
But so I know everybody wants. What happened at the meeting? Well, it's like I've been mocked repeetedly here today.
What didn't happen at the meeting?
It was
today.
Well, it didn't happen. Well, no, is because
you're mocked here every day. In fairness,
It wasn't a convention. It was more of a
couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't help myself. It was more of a, what's the word? Come on, Josh, help me.
Conference,
where we just kind of met with all the publishers and talked.
Summit.
Powwow.
And
summit.
It wasn't.
I like that.
Yeah, but it like people were like, what big announcements did they make? And it really wasn't so much about big announcements,
convention.
Things like that. It was more, I mean, Dark Horse did a little bit of that, a little more than some others. But yeah, not so much that. It's more what their plans on what they're doing, like Dark Horse is trying to work in a new discount thing to get us to order more. And it was kind of neat. Then when you did the round tables, which we did after that, where you actually sit down at the table in groups. We only had two in our group because two people flaked.
What? She brought us.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was nice because we got to talk more. But they asked, you know, what we thought about it, and I actually gave them a little different spin on it that I think they kind of liked and thought would work better. So we'll see, but it's that give and take that you get. It's
what
like, hey,
your idea.
Well, what they had is on number one, if you ordered a certain amount, you get 15% off. If you ordered the same amount as number one, you got 10% off on number two, and if you ordered the same amount on number three, you got 5% off. Well, I'm like, well, one, if sales aren't there after number two, I'm not going to keep ordering
number three
for just 5%. That 5% doesn't really matter. If I ordered 10 of number one and sold 7, and then I ordered 10 of number two and sold 5. I'm really not going to order 10 of number 3. That 5% isn't enough to convince me to do that. I'm much more likely to order 6.
So are you now their consultant?
No. But what I said is maybe it might be better to take that 5% and put it on 2 so that I'm even more.
So it's 15.
Right, because by after the first 2, I'm going to know my orders. But at least, basically, they want us to have the books on the shelf for the potential customers coming in.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's their goal. So I just said I'd be more likely to have it on 1 and 2 at that discount. And by then, the sales are what they are.
Yeah.
I'm not going to carry extra 3s just in case, just because. And they, I don't know, they nodded and went, oh, okay, and wrote that down. I talked to Image about their dump program. Well, sorry. The display program. It's called a dump.
They took a dump.
But it's a display program. I just said you need to cut back some of the numbers because sometimes they have, I can get returnability on a number one if I order enough, which for me is 40 copies. Mm-hmm. But then they also send me another 35 to put in the display.
So you have
and I'm
75
like,
copies
there are book. Very few books I need 75 copies of. And unless, I mean, even Witches wouldn't have needed 75 copies. So I said, maybe do it on ones that we don't do that. So maybe I only ordered 10 because I wasn't sure. Then you send me another 35. It's nice to have that buffer. But on the ones that you're already offering the returnability, it's kind of defeating the purpose. And also, they've started sending them like on number twos and number threes. And I'm like, on
with
those.
With returnability?
With returnability. Yeah, those I only pay for what I don't send back
okay.
on the ones in the display. But if I only ordered 10 number ones, I really don't need 35 number twos. That's never going to work.
Yeah, you're not going to...
Right, so, and they've actually cut back on those, and the ones that aren't number ones, are, they've cut it in half. I'm like, that's a good start, because now I'm just sitting on too many books, and just, it's a storage issue.
Yeah, you got to send them back.
Yeah, so they listened to me on that. And a couple other things, just a little POS issue of what they were doing, where they had some books that started off with two covers, and then only, by number three only had one cover. Well, I don't remember when I'm ordering number three. I haven't seen number one yet, and I can't remember that I ordered two covers, because my computer only shows me the cover in relation to the same cover, so I'd never see B. Just a little thing. I gave them an idea on how to fix it, so... But it was also interesting talking to some of the new... There were some new publishers there. There were some new companies that hadn't been there. Fantagraphics and Drawn and Quarterly were there, which I was very happy. And I told them I was very happy they were there, because I think more stores need to see their stuff or talk to them, because it does make a big difference. And because Comics Pro isn't just big stores. It's
everybody.
Everybody. And I'm sure there were people there that had never ordered a Fantagraphics book or a Drawn and Quarterly. So it was good for them to have that... That FaceTime, and then you also have a contact them with them. You know, hey, I have a question. You have someone to go to. It's not just a big company that you don't know who to talk to.
Yeah, I met you at Comics
Pro. Right, and that's the fun part. Like with DC, you know, now it was funny. Only because at the end of the thing, they said, "Okay, who thought? You know, I think this was the best one of these ever." Everybody raise your hands who agrees, and I didn't. And the one guy came up and asked me, and I said, well, my problem is my first two were my eye-openers, were the best ever, because that's where I was meeting all these people. I sat, you know, I had lunch with Dan DiDio and Jim Lee and these guys, and it was just mind-blowing, and oh my gosh, I'm sitting talking to, you know, the people from Archaea or Boom or whatever. And now it's just kind of, hey, Dan, how are you? You know, it's not as cool for me. They're just, you know, I'm jaded.
So they have to up their game.
Yeah, well, they do need to up their game, but I'm a little more jaded, so for me, and then Marvel's hijinks made it even a little more frustrating this year.
By hijinks, do you mean they shared all kinds of information and were very informative and made you feel like a partner? Because you are? Is that what you mean by hijinks? Those scamps?
Well, I had talked before about how DC had blocked out 6 hours to talk to us.
Only 6 hours?
Only six hours
Marvel
to talk to
12.
Us. And Marvel minutes. Had and Marvel had us booked for 40 minutes.
That was just on day one, though. What did they do on day two and day three, Colin?
Josh knows the story. But when they had their 40-minute presentation... You're doing a great job. When they had their 40-minute presentation, the head guy didn't come. He sent another
underling.
And basically, he did a little slideshow, which had a bunch of the covers in the new previews that
he
everybody...
took two pizzas, and they smashed
No, he didn't even do that! That would have been awesome!
And everybody
who likes pizzas?
Yeah, but... Oh, you killed
do
the
you
pizza.
Like green peppers? Sorry, that topping fell off.
Is it the kid from The Greatest Announcement?
No, it was a different guy. It was a different guy. It was Jim Nozdias, and I don't
know
his position.
That's why this happened. Announcements that have ended for Marvel. What was the point of giving you more than 40 minutes?
Yeah, that's true.
But basically, they just showed us a lot of the covers, like the Old Man Logan and the Deadpool, not a Deadpool Secret War or whatever, Deadpool Secret War or whatever it is.
But that's good, though. It's not like you get a magazine every month that has those covers in it. So.
Yeah, right. And strangely, we were going to be getting it 5 days later. And then they also talked about, that's why I was asking Pat earlier, there's three, and this was their word, the three buckets that all the books are going to fall into. Either it's Final Days, Battle Zones, or War Zone. And those are the three groupings that all the books are going to fall into. And so, and that was kind of about it. And then... some people stepped up to ask questions, and it was nice because it was the questions I was going to ask.
But you didn't have to be the dick.
No, it wasn't. The question was, like, there's the Old Man Logan, and the question was, is this going to be a one-shot, a miniseries, or an ongoing series? Because we're not quite sure what to make of it. You'll find out, was the answer.
Well, obviously we'll find out. But
Ms. Marvel was just announced that she's part of the Final Days, where the other ones were Magneto and Loki, which I think they've already announced are ending.
Yes.
So someone asked, is Ms. Marvel canceled? Maybe. Okay, you're seeing where this is going. They're basically giving us nothing. My only note from the Marvel panel was vague. Now, then we went into the roundtables, and because last year the room was so loud from, you know, you have 200 people sitting at tables talking, people couldn't hear. So what they decided to do this year was split it into two separate rooms to try to, you know, less people, less noise. Sadly, I did not get to Marvel on Friday afternoon. I was scheduled to meet with them Saturday morning. That was when my group was going to be in that room.
I didn't realize this part of it.
Oh, yes.
I didn't realize, like, they actually had split it. I thought you still got your little piece on Friday.
No. Mm-mm. No, I was in the other room on Friday. One of the guys that was in that room on Friday that did sit down and talk to Marvel did mention that he posted, he said, you know, I really appreciate you listening to my concerns and things, but it would have been made me feel a little bit better if you'd actually written any of them down. So that was not, it was to be expected. And then we found out that they actually flew home Friday night. So they weren't even there Saturday for me. Now, to give a little bit of a caveat, this is my fifth one of these. I've only spoken with them twice. The other two times they had also already gone home, although they hadn't left the night before. They just had, like, I was supposed to meet with them like at 3, and they had, you know, 3 o'clock flight, so they had to leave early.
No, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Okay, advocate.
Did you demand they go home early?
I did not. No, I wanted to talk to them because I just had a few questions.
Said you, because you demanded it.
No. Oh, I see where you're going. No. It was just a case of I wanted to, you know, just those questions that we all have. You
do
know,
people take you have the like internet? A super friendly sales guy like you do with DC that
no.
you can talk to?
No,
like,
I don't.
And ask these questions?
No.
Did they take to the internet like retailers about that?
No, like, I didn't see anybody. I didn't see anybody mention it.
I feel like more people should like tweet this on this day and age.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, we
take care less.
I don't know, because I know they don't like from talking. They don't like confrontation, and I don't know if they felt it was going to be confrontational. I'm just looking at it as they have their huge event coming up in 2 months that they've already started promoting and doing all sorts of stuff, and I have no idea what to make of it. You guys have no idea what to make of it.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to order it. I just looked through the previews. They have 82 variant covers in this new previews that just came out. And I didn't even look at the ratios that they were. But it's like, I have no idea how to order this.
Zero returnability?
Oh, no returnability.
Yeah. Well, like Convergence, like how you're selling Convergence, and we know what it is. We know what it's pretty well what it's about. Right now, it's given me as a consumer, like, a better idea of buying all of it than this, than whatever Battle World is, because right now I don't know anything about it. The only thing right now on my mind is that I know enough that it's going to change things, so I might want to pick up the main book. But everything around it, I could care less about.
Yeah,
right now.
What does this old man Logan mean?
I don't know what it is. And if they're not going to go and tell anybody about that, so I can come in here and ask you,
right?
Then it's only going to backfire on them later on.
Well, I see it as one of two things. Either they don't know, they don't have a plan yet. Or they don't have confidence in what it's going to be. And that's...
Then they shouldn't even shown up to the thing. Because it looks worse.
Well, that was a thing. One of the biggest thing I heard from other members or other stores was basically we just felt disrespected. We just felt it was disrespectful just to up and leave in the middle of it.
You already got
you're supposed to be
your money.
Their partners that engage
well,
with their
customers. But they don't look at it that way.
And that's a problem on their end.
And maybe it really...
They're treating you as if you're just the normal person reading the books.
Maybe the people that came to talk to you don't know as much as you do, and they just came out of because Marvel was just
well,
like,
there
what
there
show
there
up.
Honestly was some thought of that.
Yeah,
someone has to be there.
Yeah,
somebody had to show up, make an appearance. Yeah.
If that's the case, then that's dumb. They should just not go at all.
Yeah,
they should.
Well,
say,
those guys have
it.
No choice.
But I'm saying Marvel should just say, if we're not sending people that
and
can
I'm
talk
sure those
like
people, you know, most likely the people that showed up to this, those guys probably know that, and that's probably they were just like.
But those guys that showed up there, they probably had a choice whether they were going to leave early or not.
If that's all they had to do?
I just think there was a better way.
Marvel has to pay their expenses.
No, but if they said, Colin, we're going to talk to you guys about this in this room today, and then tomorrow we'll do this.
Yeah.
If they decided to completely ditch this other...
Yeah, you were right the first time.
Well, dick over their retailers and not do this presentation, so each
you
group...
You mean Marvel as a company, these guys.
Well, it wasn't like a presentation.
No,
it was just
these guys.
You sat down for 10 minutes at the table
because
and
they don't really have any say usually.
If Marvel booked with Comics Pro to be there for 2 or 3 days,
if they did, that's the thing.
Well, they were scheduled for Saturday, yeah. So obviously
that could have been something, right? But did Marvel know that before they showed up? Because that could have been a thing where Comics Pro
took
the cue from what they had last year and told them last minute, you guys need to be here.
Maybe, but I highly doubt that this big like annual thing would just say, we assume Marvel's going to stay for...
But it is a change to what they did the previous years.
But,
well, it could be that they...
Not really, because they broke it up. It was all in one room.
If that's the case, got there Friday and they said, we didn't plan on being here Saturday, then why didn't they say... We're not going to be here Saturday. Yeah. Why don't we just put them all in one big room? Or let's just tell everyone, hey,
or how about the fact that it's Marvel, which is owned by Disney, which has a pretty large travel account and could switch flights without much of a problem.
It seemed like they just snuck out of there in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
Probably got ambushed on Friday and said we're not sticking around for this.
I don't know.
It's unexcusable no matter what.
No, I agree.
We shouldn't have to tiptoe around the biggest publisher when you're trying to ask questions about their big event.
No.
And especially when they're being so unforthcoming with information about it. But
maybe they had to get to a taping of The View.
Maybe. Maybe enough people yelled at them about that. Now, my DC notes, I'm probably going to try to type this up a little better, but it is interesting. I'm kind of just going to read my notes. I didn't really have a chance to put anything good together. But regarding Convergence, they said, yes, it is about moving the company, but they also decided to make it something where it's like visiting old friends. And what they did, they said it's not a throwaway story. There is a plan. Week one is going to be pre-Flashpoint DCU books. Week two is going to be pre-Zero Hour DCU books. Week three is going to be pre-Crisis on Infinite Earth books. And then week four is going to be eclectic. Basically, Earth 2, alternate reality, you know, alternate worlds, Elseworlds stuff.
Okay.
And they said there's going to be 2 pages in each book explaining the characters that are involved. So if you don't know who they are, you're going to get a little 2-page synopsis of who they are. And then also each issue is going to have 8 pages of original stories for the new books that are coming out after. And it's not...
So, like, each week will have a different preview?
Right. Well, each book will have a different preview. Like, the Batman and Robin might have a preview of Robin, Son of Batman.
Yeah.
And things like that. They can't commit yet. They said they can't commit yet to which preview will be in which book.
Okay.
Because they don't know when the art will be done. We did ask if they could put that on the cover, though, so that we can find it later. I want the book that had the preview of Starfire.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have to flip through, was it New Teen Titans, was it Titans, was it, which book was it? So But that's neat, and that's original, you won't see again, I think they said, until the trade. So it's not going to be like the first 8 pages of the book, it's going to be something completely original.
Okay.
And then there's Divergence, which is their Free Comic Book Day book, which is going to have 3 key storylines. There's going to be a major status quo change for Batman and Superman, and then it's also the beginning of the Darkseid War.
I thought Darkseid War, the prologue for that was in next month's Justice League.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's...
But that's the prologue, and then maybe this is part 1.
Well, that's April.
And this is May.
Well, no, that's March. It's March's book.
No, this is Divergence is May,
is
the Free
May.
Comic Book Day book.
Okay, right. So there's not going to be anything about Darkseid War during...
Until, right,
okay.
Not during,
you
not
mean,
during
like
Convergence.
The main one is going to be in May.
Well, yeah, because...
The prologue's going to be...
The main one's going to be this month.
In March.
Oh, okay.
And
the main one won't
40.
Be till June.
Okay. So, you got nothing in April.
It's going to be
right.
After.
In May, you'll have the Free Comic Book, and then in June is when the event actually starts.
And then the other thing, another part of Convergence was letting some of the creators finish their storylines. Like they specifically mentioned, like Greg Rucka and his Question storyline never really got finished before New 52 happened. It was so they're letting them fix that. And they also said that it's a tribute to DC. That's why they're bringing back all these characters.
Okay.
And they do say it does tie into the new DCU and that some of the new series will be spinning out of Convergence. So some of the new books. And there are new books in June and July.
Did anyone mention anything of the fact that there's no Shazam book?
No, there's new books in June and July.
Right, but they haven't announced.
So
there's new books in June and July.
Okay.
We haven't heard the July ones
yet.
Maybe.
Do you know what these new books are in July?
There's new books in June.
No, I'm not. The only reason I'm not saying this is I'm not 100% of it, but. But I'm not 100% of that.
That number is in addition to the ones that are staying?
No. Yes. So, maybe, but I might have misheard it, so I don't want to say it.
You're sounding a lot like Marvel here, Colin.
I don't want to say it.
Maybe. Okay. Might be.
But one
stop. He might get up and walk away.
One of the things
that's
they said.
Marvel now.
He'll be here tomorrow. Okay.
Stop talking. There's a more. They said they want to have a more diverse lineup, and that the rules of continuity have been softened to let the creators tell the best stories, not necessarily the best stories in continuity. Where
better stories? Well,
I know.
Number ones.
I know. And they're not doing all new number ones after Convergence, like there was some talk of that, that in July...
Yeah, I thought they said there was a couple.
Well, but like, Batman's not getting a new number one. Right. Detective's not getting a new number one. They're not doing that.
There were some, there were rumors that would get...
Green Arrow was one that I thought was going to...
get a continuation number, and then after that
would
get number one.
They might, but it's not all new number ones. And they said it is still a shared universe, even though some of the continuity, which is fine.
Well, yeah, but that happened with New 52, because Batman and Green Lantern never really changed continuity.
And then they just kind of went over all the different titles.
Did you talk to Evan?
Yes, I did. But nothing about any books or anything, just about their programs. One neat thing they have, now, this is where, I mean, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't mean anything to you. You guys, it's more nuts and bolts for me.
Oh, I care about nuts and bolts.
Sure. But, like, one of the things, they're offering extra discounts on the continuing series in June if we hit a certain order number. They're also offering returnability on us for these new books. So we...
Okay.
I don't know how to order Batmite, but now this allows me to order it without fear. So let's say, gosh, I might only be able to sell 10 copies... Well, now, because I can return it, you know, maybe I'll order 30, 40. You know,
Batmite stole Batman books. So
right. Well, they did say Batmite is the ultimate bad editor story, where Batmite is kind of popping up and messing around with stuff. So they said it was a lot of fun. But,
okay.
He does things like
but
that.
But the thing they did is they're doing returnability, and whereas Marvel gives us, you know, requirements of 150% of original Sin 8 and things like that, DC's requirement is we have to order a minimum of 5 copies. So... I think that was pretty much a given on all the titles. So, another thing. This is one thing that Josh had asked about is they did say that they are committed to 12 issues on these new books.
Yeah, I heard. Good. I did hear him say that.
There's nobody's going to get a put, and they also they committed to the creators for that. So tell your story. You don't have to try to wrap it up real quick. They're committed to letting them take root and letting them grow.
Didn't they do that though with New 52? And I know some of them only lasted.
Some of them
eight.
Only lasted 6 or 8. Yeah. I forget. Like Hawk and Dove didn't make it too far. But they say they do have a program to support and promote these books within their books and within their stuff.
You know, Colin's kind of upping you on Pat's news here.
Well, Pat wasn't there.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's actually bringing reports back.
Well, yes.
Next year, you should take Pat with you so he can cover the news and you can cover the booze.
I'm pretty good at that. Yes.
There you go.
Okay. And one other thing,
Josh needs a high five.
DC Direct did this neat thing where they're doing a bulk like stand-up thing for their core action figures, and it was a bulk purchase, but it was like 6 Batman, 6 Superman, 6 Wonder Woman, 2 of a bunch of the rest for a set price. And then they kind of upped their thing. They upped the discount, and they upped what was there. And it ended up being, like, there was the big package was 2 Green Lantern lanterns.
Okay.
All these action figures, a Harley statue, some Batman black and white, some Cover Girls, all sorts of stuff. And it was like $3,000 worth of merchandise that we could get for $1,000. It's like...
Did you get it?
I will.
Okay, get it.
I didn't get it yet, but it's like that. But what they're trying to do is make sure...
Pause the podcast, call DC, get it.
But they're making sure that stores are stocked with their stuff, which we do need to be, but I'm sure there's a lot of stores that don't even have Batman, Superman, but this is a way to get it at a better discount than we normally do, because toys normally have a much worse discount than comics and trades and things like that. So that was a neat thing. I remember seeing that, and one guy's like, yeah, I'm ordering 2 of those. That's a no-brainer, and I agree. And then... That's about it. That was it for DC. Then the other guys...
I feel like, just from your report back, DC really, like,
They like this comic.
I mean, this event.
They like, but yeah, there you go. There's my Marvel.
They're listeners.
My Marvel notes. There you go.
But like they treat you.
Secret Wars and Vague.
I had nothing to
they treat you like you're a partner with them, and they give you the information you need to come back here and be successful, which is what the I think the purpose of it is.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. Okay. Jason Worlds is going to be a free agent. So I'm sorry. I'll turn off my.
That was highly inappropriate.
I'm sorry. And then I did have one little fun thing where Boom went up and their big promotion, you've probably seen it elsewhere, but it's Push Comics Forward. They have a little hashtag thing. And they were very much, every book is important. All the books, what is the thing?
Pushing forward.
Yeah.
Raising all the boats.
Yeah.
You know, basing good books make everybody, you know, more good books make everybody better off. Then Image stepped up there and basically said, we're the best. And started slamming the other publishers. I'm like, yeah, way to go, Image. It was very funny right after Boom. And I feel bad. It was Corey Murphy, who was the new marketing person and was very, very uncomfortable speaking publicly and was reading her speech. And it was just, she was saying like these uplifting things. And she's like, you know, I wanted to say something that was memorable and all this. And one thing they did announce was they're upping the discounts for the smaller stores so that they get a better discount.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us sitting there going, okay. Yeah.
And I heard the new tier stores also get a better discount,
yeah,
which that doesn't do anything for the people who are in
it. Right. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. So it was just one of those. And then, you know, proceeded to say, we're the best, rah-rah. And it was just one of those. After Boom, it was just a little. And I'm sitting afterwards going, yeah, nothing about this speech is memorable.
Was this the event where last year the guy called out? Okay.
And she said, you know, last year I was sitting out there with you and it was uncomfortable. But the heart was in the right place because we are the best. And it was kind of funny.
That's more memorable than what she
said.
That's what she said.
So that's pretty much my report. It was interesting. Some of the other things were interesting. I mean, like seeing people again and going, oh, yeah, I need to do that. Like the button guy or the magnet guy. It's like, I do need to make an order with you.
The magnet guy.
The
collection drawers?
Yeah, I got to get a hold of them and stuff like that.
The drawer boxes, but they had these cardboard rails in them.
Yeah, those are pretty awesome.
Because what you do is like, you know, if you, say, have a quarter of a long box or a short box, whatever, you know how they fall over? At least have rails in them, and you put the separator in there, they don't fall.
Yeah.
Why don't you have those?
Because I need to order them.
I just fold some cardboard up, and it works.
but then there was, like, this one guy.
That's what your package should include.
What?
Your whole shebang package should include
a box with dividers,
bags and boards.
Okay. Yeah.
To hold them.
Good call, Josh.
I'm already giving you 20% off. Give me a break.
Well, you're getting 20%.
Like no, I'm getting 10. A bit. I'm giving you an extra 10.
Okay.
That's my gift to you.
For getting the whole shebang.
We call it maize. Sorry.
wow.
Racist and outstanding at the same time.
No! No. But this, it was like he's.
He wasn't even Pat this time.
He has this program.
They're
not going through Diamond, and we can order it ourselves and direct through them. And it's just all these. And I flipped through a couple of the books, and they weren't that great. And it was just kind of, you've got to be really, really good for me to go out of my way to get this.
Which books are these?
It's just a small new publisher who's trying to get going. And it was interesting looking at, there's like four different titles, and he's the writer on all of them, the guy who was there. So, no offense to him, I just, that's a really hard
road. That's a hard sell to.
It's like, oh, we're going to do an RV tour and we'll come to your store and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I still don't think that will move the needle at all.
Yeah, I'll order four copies of
right.
this.
Right. I'm like, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but.
Are you making a list of books you read?
Yeah.
Adam's writing down. Wow. I like how you intermix your capitals and small. That's interesting.
Let's just walk in.
It's an interesting way to do it.
Just to walk in.
That was your favorite book. You like that page. No. And then there was another small publisher where you just kind of, again, awful. Now they are going through Diamond and stuff, and they're probably in the catalog, but you just kind of look and you're just like, okay, what's your niche? What's your catch? You know, you can't just put, oh, you're putting out a team book. You're putting out a sci-fi book. It's like, you really got to have something special. There was an article, I don't remember if we talked about it or not, that Mark Waid, it was in Comic Book Resources, where he was talking about and basically apologizing to all the store owners that he's been bashing over the years, because now he just finally took full ownership of the store that he had bought into in Indiana. And he made it Aw Yeah with Art Balazar. And he, like, understands what we go through and that we can't just blindly support every book out there. That there's, you know, an economy to it, and there's only so much money to go around. And it was just, it was a really nice article, just seeing, because he had been quite brutal.
I think a lot of these creators think of you guys as marketing tools for them, and not necessarily as you having your own business that you have to run and support and really build loyalty with your own customers.
Because of that, because he said, stores aren't going to support me, I'm going to go do digital.
Yeah.
And I think he realized how hard digital is. That's even
Doesn't that
bigger.
Seem kind of odd? He went digital, then he bought a comic book store.
I think he bought into it because it was his local store and the guy was in having trouble. And he bought in to help him out. And then it turns out they were even more trouble. And he had to finally buy the whole thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, how's he going to have time to run the store? And...
Did you read that article? Or Oh, okay. No, I thought you were talking about
I
that
one. I
don't
remember seeing it. I don't remember if I read it.
No, I was just saying in general, like, when you have these creators that... speak out against, you know.
Yeah, if they put it, if it, basically a lot of them, if I publish it, they will come, and it's like, not necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, I can't afford, you know, and maybe I'll buy one or two to put on the shelf and see how it does. But just because you're Mark Waid, Mark Waid's Green Hornet didn't do that great. Yeah. No offense.
I was all right. I think I bought it for like 8 issues or so.
But, you know, it's just, and he kind of realized, he's like, you know, and he, I liked how it was kind of like an open letter, and it was just kind of, guys, you know, if you...
My bad.
Well, no, but, and hey, you have a new book? Okay. Well, guess what? It's got to be better than Walking Dead to be successful. It can't just be okay. There's too much okay stuff out there. Your book has to be spectacular. You know, like Saga, you know, came out of the gate, boom, you know, and everybody was talking about it. Your book has to be huge. It can't just be, oh, look, it's a wacky buddy comedy, and okay, everybody tunes out.
Yeah, there's
you know,
enough of those out there.
Where are you going with this? So that was one neat thing. There was a company called Anomaly. The art is always fantastic, but this, you've seen it. I have the book here. It's a huge $75 book. And its big key feature is it has AI, not AI, but you take your iPad over it, and it shows you on the screen animals jumping. Oh, there you go.
Augmented reality.
So he does that.
Like the AR thing.
And now they're doing actual issues. And another one more publisher calls them floppies. We're going to revolt. We started, one guy said, maybe we should get the publishers Viagra if they keep calling them floppies. Because it's just, what a derogatory term. But they're going to be doing comics. And he gave the pitches on them. And the two of them were, I was like, that's what I want to hear. It was just two really neat, I can't remember them off the top of my head now, but two really neat pitches.
Do they call the hardcover stiffies?
I don't know. I just, I remember when I started hearing that term, and I was like,
specials.
Who in the world calls them that? They're comic books.
Before
they've been They've been comic books for 75 years. Why do you have to come up with a new term that is not a nice term?
Too many syllables, man. They don't have time for that.
It's fair enough.
When they do say that, what are they trying to differentiate from?
From a graphic novel or a hardcover.
But they're even, like, they're not, it's not like they're
I know.
Like a...
Hey, I don't.
Yeah, look.
Hey,
sound
be careful.
You haven't paid for that yet.
Yeah. The spine is. Yeah, he doesn't want it after that. Just like, oh, by the way,
Colin, some jerk was flopping this thing around. I don't want this now.
I'm sorry.
You know, I hear there's a lot of that going around in the store anymore.
Now I do have to give a major shout out to Valiant, who in their suite.
Yeah, go Valiant.
Valiant
gave a major shout out.
Valiant had Kraken. So
oh,
I give them a shout out. They were definitely appealing directly to me.
They must be listening to the podcast.
No, I doubt it, but I'm just saying, hey, they had Kraken.
And they had some news, too, about like the returnability and whatnot.
They've been doing that, and it is funny. I mean, they do it right. They want to get the books on the shelves. But I think it was Bloodshot is if you order a certain amount, which isn't a crazy amount either, like 20 or 25, you get 80% off and full returnability.
80% off?
Yeah. Wow. So it's like, okay, so I'm paying very little for these and what doesn't sell. Like, but basically, it's the same thing. They want the books on the shelves. They want you guys to be able to come in and find it. They're hyping it, so they want to make sure it's on the shelf instead of me ordering two and they sell out and wait for a second print and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the reason they do it. And then they'll make the money back on four, you know, three, four, five. The one neat thing about Bloodshot Reborn is Jeff Lemire has, I think he said 10 or 12 issues fully scripted. And they have four issues fully drawn.
Yeah, I think it's over three arcs that's fully scripted right now.
Okay.
And they have art going on all those arcs because
it's different artists.
They're skipping,
But it's arcs. Like they're committed to it. It's not one of those things that, we'll see how it goes. They're definitely committed to that. So they were very much for the Bloodshot. And I had to do Bloodshots, which is three parts tequila.
Which I can't think of a single book that they've canceled for sales. I
guess. No, they haven't. They haven't. But it's just interesting that, you know, it's like this will not be late.
But they do an interesting thing, which sometimes frustrates me, but I get why they do it. The only book they have that has been going on since their relaunch is Exo Man of War.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else they have, like, it's out for a year and then it stops and they do something else. Yeah, but like Quantum of Woody ended and now they're doing a mini series with it and they're going to do other stuff. But it seems like they don't want to have a large stable of comics. They want to have like a small, like, curated list of, you know, eight or nine books that they focus on and then do something else for a little bit. And
that's better than some other houses of ideas I've heard of that just put anything out there and
see what sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're hard up on them today, aren't we? Mm.
Well, they deserve it.
They do deserve it. That was a, I'm sorry, Apple, a dick move.
I get aggravated because I feel like we end up being DC fanboys. But
that's what I've enjoyed telling people is. There's a reason I'm a DC fanboy, because DC bends over backwards to help me.
But I feel like what aggravates me the most is other podcasts I listen to, everyone's always, you know, toting the Marvel line and how great Marvel is and bashing DC for everything they do. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, Marvel is constantly dicking people over, and DC seems like they're trying to at least do things.
Well, is it retailers or is it just fans? Because, you know, Marvel definitely has more fans.
There's a lot of fanboys running
critics,
you know, bookstores
and journalist sites.
But even there, I'm overall a bigger fan of the Marvel characters, but I'd say in the last year and a half, I hate their stories.
I'm not reading Avenger books.
I'm down to one X-Men book, and I'm not getting rid of it at this point just because I feel like I'm invested. Yeah. That's not a good reason for me to continue to read them.
I feel like a lot of their energy is going into their movies, and the less amount of it is going into their books anymore because they're not trying to tell any like stories that people are. I feel like the last 10 years, the 10 years before the big major movies came out, they were putting out comic books that had fairly decent stories, fairly decent arcs, you know, when Bendis was on Avengers. And then once the movies started coming out, like, it's like they had better things to do.
I just feel like the movies have given them a large sense of arrogance.
Mm-hmm. Well, my problem with that is, though, that the movie success has nothing to do with the comics.
It's
the characters, but the comic guys are taking the movie success as their success. But I don't really think it is, and I definitely don't think the movie people think it is.
No, because even when you look at...
I think they're two very... Marvel Studios is very different from Marvel Comics.
But even when you look at... Okay, so they adapted certain parts of a storyline, but Extremis in Iron Man 3 is not like the Extremis comic. Civil War will certainly not be the same as what Civil War was.
Even though everybody still thinks it's going to be, because I keep hearing people about the Spider-Man saying, well, he's going to unmask, he's going to do all that. Have they not been watching the movies?
But even if they did, you know.
None of the movies that the same title as a book have.
You're not going to have the robotic Thor, spoiler alert, kill Goliath. You're not going to have the Fantastic Four in there and, you know, and all that.
Goliath.
So there's. It can't be the same.
It's because he's still dead.
No.
Which I felt kind of
odd. I want to see the new Warriors on screen.
Be different.
I would like to see Nitro blow up Connecticut. That would be pretty cool. But
I really don't think it's going to be anywhere near the Civil War. Just like Ultron is nowhere near going to be the same Ultron that we know of. Just like Winter Soldier wasn't the same Winter Soldier story that we're now of.
No.
Just like Extremis wasn't the same.
Yeah,
Extremis,
I mean,
story.
They were inspired by, I guess, is a better way. You know, we're taking elements of these different stories.
They're making their own.
But even, you know, the origins of these characters are not the traditional origins necessarily. Not exactly.
A lot of them are.
It's very inspired by the Ultimate Universe. A lot of it's different.
A lot of the people they're using for executive producers and stuff like that, like and creative consultants on this that worked on it, like Brian Michael Bendis and stuff. A lot of the stories that you're seeing or stories that they were working on, a lot of Bendis' stuff was the Ultimate stuff, and they're really trying to push the Ultimate because at the time the Ultimate stuff was their future.
The future of what they were making.
This could work today, unlike the 1960s.
Yeah.
And that's why we're seeing a lot of that. So we're getting a little bit of that mixed in with a little bit. I think that's really why they're wanting to merge the two worlds together, which I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Because you have a lot of good points to modernize Marvel and tell these stories with what they had from Ultimates, because it was more modern. And a lot of characters like that could be more modern. So I just think that they're right now back to what we were talking about though about Marvel. I just don't think it really doesn't feel like they care. It really doesn't, and that's why I've kind of dropped off. Not so much that they care about, like I feel like they think that maybe they're not focusing so much on comic books. And
no, they're a multimedia entertainment company at this point. Yeah. As long as they're making money, that's...
And I feel like they're making it as, like, well, the movies are out, we can also sell comics. Kind of like, well, we have this cartoon show out.
It's a merchandising
we can sell toys for it.
That's right, it's a merchandising opportunity, and that's all it is.
And then with DC, it's the complete opposite right now, where you have DC Comics, and it's DC Comics. It's a separate category from Warner Brothers, who is making their movies. Yeah. But we have Marvel Studios, which is, you know, Marvel as a whole, as a company, you know, they're selling it as it's another thing we could sell along with the movies.
Yeah, it's a companion product.
Where it's not like really that with, I don't think, with DC right now. And
I really do think it's showing in their stories and their writing
because I feel like they're not so much focusing, editorial is not really focusing on anything. I just don't see it. And what they bring out, like they're just like throwing things out there. Like really, I feel like they have a dartboard, it has characters on it, they're just throwing it at it and hoping. And you know, it doesn't make any sense why we have some of the books that we're getting.
Well, I look at the Marvel titles that I'm reading right now. Moon Knight, Punisher, Iron Fist, Deadpool, and Uncanny X-Men.
I think I'm done with Moon Knight.
This last issue, I think, ended the arc.
Yeah, Cullen Bunn is taking up the next one.
It did, but it ended up poorly, in my opinion.
No, it did. But none of them really relate to the overall Marvel universe, and that's maybe why I've stuck with them, because it's like, I don't really care what happens in any of these books,
because
it's not going to show up anywhere else anyway.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's sad, whereas in DC, one of the things I look forward to is something that happens in one of the books will have an impact in another book.
I just don't understand, like, the titles that they're bringing out. Yeah, I feel like, and some of these titles that, I feel like they've gotten success with Hawkeye, so they're just like, why don't we make more goofy books like Hawkeye, you know, that are somewhat serious but a little bit goofy at the same time?
I'm not going to fault them for trying different things.
No, but it's just like, don't throw, like we're going to be getting a MODOK book.
I agree.
But MODOK has been, I mean, even though it has been popular here, I guess, but MODOK has gotten some popularity from the Secret Avengers book.
But in the end, like, okay, how well is Secret Avengers doing?
Well, but...
canceled.
Canceled because...
It's done.
Do you think a MODOK book is going to sell Hawkeye numbers?
And it's not even,
would you have said Hawkeye would have sold Hawkeye numbers back before?
No. And that's what got me on that one, is people, you should have known to order more of this. I'm like,
how?
In what world...
Yeah.
What exactly gave them the reason that said that they thought in a sales meeting that they're just like, what do we need more of? Well, we should do a MODOK book because Secret Avengers got canceled. You know, is that what they're going for? Because like, okay, obviously that didn't work, so why is MODOK gonna be okay?
But I could see,
I'd stay far away
from
it.
It's just a miniseries.
I could see them looking at the MODOK book.
It's just an example.
And thinking that maybe like Deadpool fans, people that like that style book might enjoy the MODOK book, or if they give it a shot.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like they're...
I guess I don't have any problem with them trying different things out.
I don't have a problem, because right, like with...
put out whatever you want. I don't have to buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's a fair call on that.
I feel like they have certain characters that they could be working with better, and they're trying to do too many gimmicky things.
I'll give you the gimmicky thing, but I don't think MODOK is gimmicky. Who's that pandering to?
I just
robotic people.
Honestly, don't use MODOK as an example.
I mean, in light of the other gimmicky stuff, MODOK's almost refreshing. In fact, they're just doing something because they want to do it, not because they feel like they have to do it.
Yeah, but I think right now too many of their books have like X-Men and that are doing horribly, and Avengers is like one of the hardest books to get onto, and right now they're worried about having a Squirrel Girl book. You know, put some focus into Avengers. How many Avengers titles do you have?
Well, but if you don't try new things, they won't find new audiences. Yeah.
We talk trash on Squirrel Girl.
No, but Squirrel Girl has a
praise.
Yeah, it definitely has a market. It's not the guys sitting around this table. It's more towards the teenage, college girls. You know, and that's great.
Getting critical praise. I enjoyed it.
Don't use the one example that I'm saying.
No, I know,
but
I'm saying, like, these other books,
bringing out so many other things that some of them are just like, why? Like Hawkeye. Like, they brought out Hawkeye. Hawkeye failed, then they're bringing out another Hawkeye book.
Hawkeye failed because of Marvel.
Yeah, it drug on.
If Hawkeye kept on its regular pace, I think Hawkeye would have been fine.
Yeah.
But Hawkeye went to erratic shipping. There was obviously problems with Matt Fraction and Marvel.
Yeah.
So that's why it failed. And they're starting up again because obviously there was some popularity
for
the book initially.
There was
a market there.
Yeah.
And they're putting a big name out. They're putting Jeff Lemire on it. So I don't know. I don't have a problem with it.
No, well. I don't.
How dare you make me defend Marvel?
I know. I'm really actually surprised.
No, I don't mind them trying different things, but they're forgetting their core books.
Yeah.
We need a core Avengers book, because, like, if you look, you know, Justice League just did the, you know, a six issue run, but you could get back into that. But I bet you can also pick up the next issue and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They brought Green Lantern back.
Just, this never happens with Marvel. I had two people today pick up the entire Endgame series.
Really?
Oh, Batman, go back and get all the issues. Because it's not that far back. It's only six issues.
They deserve a shout-out. Who were
they? No, I don't know. I don't... New people. But it's like, that's something...
Thank you. Good for you, new people.
But that's something you see people do, which... Could you do that with Avengers?
Go back and grab these four trades.
You
know,
I bet you would love it if someone did with
Avengers. Right, but I mean, could you do that with any of the X-Men books?
I would like
just
these
think 40 it's
books,
just,
please.
Yeah, it's just...
I don't want to get caught up on this arc.
That's kind of what I'm saying, though. They're not putting any focus into...
No, and I agree with you on
these,
that. Like, they are mistreating their core
It would
things.
Be okay if they
but
tried...
But I don't have a problem with them. Whatever they want to do with these off-the-wall books, these smaller books,
for it. Yeah, but my main concern is that, like... Yeah, they could do that.
But don't
ignore
your bread and butter.
At least fix what you got. Yeah. You're with your big... When X-Men is doing badly, that's not a good thing for Marvel. It really isn't. When Avengers... Now, Avengers, on the other hand,
let's have them reimagine Old Man Logan.
Yeah. Well,
with Bendis. Yeah,
which I finally read it the other night.
Oh, Old Man Logan's a great story.
I never had...
Oh, yeah, that's a great story.
A friend of mine, Liam Bart, has been sitting there. So finally the other night, I sat down and read it in one sitting. Phenomenal book.
Absolutely.
So now I'm like, how is Bendis, of all people, going to do something that stands
up
to this?
What are they doing? And it was funny. I didn't read the solicitor. Like, it's in the new book. But I did read... They've been sending me some press release stuff, and I've been posting. You probably haven't noticed, but on the Facebook page, I try to be very pro-Marvel and try to post all their press releases.
You have been doing that.
Yeah. But... And there were... The Thor one came out, and I didn't read it. I just posted it. And... Then it started getting some, I would have ordered that based on the cover, but not based on the text. I'm like, even Lytle said, oh my God, that's horrible. And
is it Jason Aaron that's writing?
Yes, it is. And I finally read it, and there's a bar where all the Thors hang out. And they're like policemen. And when there's a problem, one of them gets sent to deal with that problem.
That doesn't sound like a DC book.
That doesn't sound like a DC book at all. The A-Force, if you read the A-Force description here. All these female superheroes live on an island with no men. Does that sound like a DC book?
As long as there's no mention of Greek temples, I'd say no, not at all.
Yeah, it was just one of those, oh my God.
They live on
this island. What are they doing? On this island, do they often find themselves writing vegetative injustices?
It's Roman.
Vegetative? I don't know what you mean
Dave
by that.
Dave got it.
vegetative.
Swamp. That's like from Wonder Woman.
That's like the secret. Call it, come on. Yeah. Every podcast that is mentioned.
Okay. But yeah, Dave, I mean, here
sure,
it is.
Dave makes sure to rub it in every time.
Yeah. In a secluded corner of Battleworld, an island nation is fiercely protected by a team of Avengers, the likes of which has never been glimpsed before.
Team of vegetables.
So a bunch of women living on an island, all superheroes.
I'm
going to
read the
it's
book
like
about the team of vegetables on them.
Veggie Tales. That's
what Veggie Tales. Oh, that exists. Let's
talk about
so,
vegetative injustice.
Yeah, it's just there. The excitement for me isn't there for Secret Wars. I just don't. I can't wrap my head around what's going on.
I can't jump onto something I know nothing about.
Well, read the previews and then you'll know everything. But they have Albatross covers.
As much as everyone else. So.
Okay. Does it say like you're meeting? It's just like. Maybe.
Are you just throwing things on the floor now?
It's something.
I will probably not be getting
the whole shebang. Yeah, it could be close to that.
You'll find out.
Secret Wars.
But I don't know what it is, so I can't do that. At least
that's why we won't be getting the whole
shebang. The times I've done it, now to be fair, the times I've done it with DC was New 52. It was 1 month's worth of books. I did it again for Villains Month.
Yeah.
And on Convergence, even though I didn't know what the second month books were, I knew there were going to be two. So, you know, it was easy to, you know, I can do math. Although I did it poorly, actually, the amount I gave you guys was over. I got to redo that because I thought that the Convergence issues were all $4.99. They're not. Only the first one or two is, and then the rest are $3.99. So I didn't realize
that. Is this Alex Ross who did the
cheaper?
Secret Wars cover?
So it might even be a little bit less, yes.
Or he might just charge.
Is it Alex Ross
anyway.
That did this
adjust
cover?
Adjust the percentage.
And he did he did Crisis on Infinite Earth, that trade cover.
Well, just the trade cover, yeah.
It's just funny, because it almost looks like the trade cover. And it's almost the same thing. The same event.
No, it's not. It's totally
so,
different.
Pat, first smash. Do you have any other Pat's news, since I've kind of dominated the first hour of the podcast?
No.
Thanks, Colin. We have nothing to talk about.
They did release a picture of Aquaman.
You could have just said it. You don't really need
I don't want to steal his thunder.
No,
man.
That's okay.
Pat's news.
That's okay.
Party on. Excellent.
And don't forget
this is a group effort.
Yeah.
Yes, so they did release
this is a team podcast, Colin, taking over an entire hour.
Go ahead, Pat.
They did release a photo of Aquaman for the new Batman versus Superman, totally not the Justice League, but the Justice League movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty decent. It's not the orange and green.
In the current run of Aquaman, he's wearing the orange and
traditional
green. And he looks fine. He doesn't look goofy or anything. But I think that may have translated the screen kind of goofy. And they've definitely gone, and I keep hearing people say, oh, it's another dark, gritty thing. But Aquaman gets criticized for being a joke all the time. They had to do this. They had to make him look
like
a straight-up badass.
Yeah, when we get attacked by fish sticks, we'll call Aquaman other than that.
Like... If you put Superman from the movie next to Aquaman picture movie, I'd rather mess with Superman than Aquaman.
Yeah.
Well, Peter David has been all over social media saying it is his version of Aquaman.
Yeah.
With the long hair and,
well, yeah, it's,
and all that kind of
the,
stuff.
The Justice, Justice League cartoon.
That'd be awkward.
It's very similar to that, except for more translatable to film. And not looking goofy. And it actually makes sense. You know, he has the tattoos, which is, it's very Pacific Islander, you know, very, very
Polynesian,
similar to that. Yeah, so that, which he is Polynesian. But, I mean, it's very similar to, you know, to that style. And it looks, you know, if I lived in the water, that's probably what I would wear. It would look like.
If Pat were an underwater man, that is exactly what he would look like.
Aqua Pat.
Yes. I would not go with the Namor thing with the little wings on my feet because I just think that
What's
looks...
What's the point of that?
It's stupid.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not criticizing your
my
choice
fashion
of
choice?
Footwear, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Never understood the point of the wings.
Yeah, but it, you know, so far the costumes I think have looked correct. Or, you know, look like...
They fit for what the film style is, especially after we've seen Man of Steel.
Well, yeah, it's not cartoony, which it shouldn't
be. Which I've always... People will talk about how Man of Steel is just too dark and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And my thing about it is DC tried to do the Marvel way of making a movie with Green Lantern, and nobody wanted to like that movie.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was supposed to be fun. It was supposed to be humorous. It's, you know, not so
but
real and
that
dark.
Also... the editing room killed that movie, I think.
Too. But my point is, like, now they're trying a different direction. They're trying to take it into more serious stuff.
Marvel already has that market. Why not do something different to differentiate yourself? Yeah. Well, don't make a Marvel movie with your characters. Right. Make it your own movie.
And DC had success. Warner Brothers had success with the Nolan movies.
Did very well, and those were dark, you know.
Well, people were expecting Superman to be more bright and this and that. I'm just like,
well, and I agree with that.
Which is the Superman really that people make fun of.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but yeah, I mean,
especially in this day and age, they don't want to see that Superman. They want
it's not Christopher Reeve, where but the guy they do blows want the Christopher ice cream falls off. And
well,
all that,
it's ridiculous because you'll read the comments that people make about this when they announce it. That, you know, when Superman came out, they're like, "Well, it's not Christopher Reeves," and you're like, "Well, Christopher Reeves is dead, so no, it's not." And then when Wonder Woman shows up, they're like, "Well, can't Linda Carter be?" And it's just like she's like in her 70s.
Shut up. You did not see anyone say that.
Oh my God. Yes, I do. You know, you go online and they will say, no, this is Wonder Woman. And it's just like, it's Linda Carter. And I'm just like, okay. Yeah.
Back then.
I don't think she could do that now, but.
Yeah, 40 years ago, she was.
I mean, I understand the people that are just like, maybe it could be somebody, you know, a little more built or something. And then, as Colin said, there's time, like, for that to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Well. Here's the other thing, you know, if they're going
to say, if Adam were to do this, you would be all up
He did. I dropped those two cards. He was like, oh my God, what are you doing?
He didn't say that.
You're throwing stuff on the floor now?
Good thing you didn't bring ice cream.
Ignore my videos I'm playing on my phone.
Why didn't you bring ice cream?
No, but if you, with Man of Steel, the idea was to do a join DC animated or a DC universe.
Yeah.
Batman cannot exist in the Christopher Reeve goofy universe. It has to be a more dark, realistic universe.
I mean, like Adam West Batman could have existed in that universe.
Right, but again, that's not something that people would take seriously. And then
I would watch it.
I would. No, I would watch Adam West
Batman teamed up with Christopher Reeve Superman.
But I think after
I really couldn't see that at all.
Even after
it would be so
oh, it would be
wacky.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
But even after the Burton Batman movies, you can't take Batman back to that and expect people to take the character seriously.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying you have to go as dark as Nolan did, but you can't go to the Christopher Reeve version of Man of Steel or of Superman and then say, okay, now we're going to add a dark and gritty Batman to this and say that they all live in the same universe. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's why Jason Voorhees has never attacked Charlie Brown, because those two characters can't exist in the same universe.
I would watch that movie.
Versus Charlie.
Oh man, they show up at wherever the Peanuts live.
Can you market it so people think you're talking about Charlie Manson? But really, it's Charlie
Peanutville,
Brown.
Peanutville? I don't know.
We have work to do.
Well, we have to figure out where the Peanuts come from.
Instead of choo-choo-choo.
It's the wobble, 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 wobble.
Man, it writes itself.
Good grief. We got this.
Pittsburgh.
Colin, are you writing this down?
And that's what we're going to call it. Good grief.
Good grief.
You got to stop recording. You're
that,
giving
sounds,
me,
that sounds
you're
like
giving
more
my
of a documentary,
here.
Like Good Grief, the Charlie Brown story.
First, we're going to talk to his parents. Wah, 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 wah.
That's what, the worst documentary ever. Nobody knows what's going on.
We're the best.
Colin, what'd you read?
What's that? Like?
You're going to me first.
Is Pat's News over?
Yeah.
What did you mention?
City Stole Your Thunder.
No, you guys go ahead. I only read four
There's
books.
Something
so.
They mentioned. Oh, the secret. What are the books that are coming out for that they.
We talked about that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and we got they're in
the
new preview.
Like,
yeah,
like an hour.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
I thought they mentioned other ones besides MODOK and stuff like that.
Well, they did. Well, one other thing that annoyed me at the meeting was they announced some Ghost Riders book.
I thought that was part of Secret Wars.
It is. But as we were sitting there, they're talking about older stuff that we've already seen. I'm like, so you won't even tell us about the stuff that you're releasing to comic book resources right now. You can't even bother to, like, not even say give you a scoop, but at least show us something that we haven't already seen. But no, they didn't feel that was worthy. But, Dave, you go. I know there's one book you're going to talk about that I want to...
I'm going to drag this across for you.
We'll start with that. We'll start with that one, then. Secret Identities.
Is he your one sale?
Yes, Dave must have been the one.
Oh, okay.
Because I checked to see how it did, because number two was on FOC, and I really liked it.
You seemed disappointed. Like, you thought that was gonna.
I didn't think it was gonna jump off the shelf, but I thought it deserved more eyes. That was really good. But I'll let Dave go, and then I'll jump in with my comments.
Well, it starts. It's a new super team. This is from Image, number one. New super team, the front line. And they're battling this guy releasing demons into the world at the beginning. And there's another hero, Crosswind, comes in and saves the day. And he gets invited onto the team. I guess he's helped them before. He finally gets invited. And then there's in the middle of the book, there's like 2-page vignettes with all the different members of the team. And everybody seems to have a secret or something. Something weird going on.
Secret or problem, yeah. It was
going on with each of them. And at the end, they're based in Canada. For some reason, is where their base is this giant robot or something. Or monster or something that's hollowed out.
Yeah, that they defeated there. And they're now... That's where they're... headquarters is.
So you get to the last 2 pages, you get the hook of the book. I don't know if I should give that away.
No, don't give away that. Basically, you can tell there's this one character who's being set up to... And the whole premise we knew going in was someone's trying to infiltrate them to get all their secrets.
Okay.
And as it's going... I mean, it's not really hidden at all. You know right from the very beginning.
Yeah.
But the way it's going, the fact that all these people have secrets... or problems or something. It's very interesting because it's not just like a straightforward, hi, we're a superhero team, and oh, you want to be our new member? Okay, come on in. There was a lot of...
Yeah, one of them's keeping all these horrible people in this dungeon or something. And
yeah, another one has 2 families. Blood. Yeah. And he's a speedster, yeah. But he's having to run the girl, back and forth between the 2 families.
Girl's the daughter of the president.
Yeah. But it was really quite good. Very original, something I haven't read before. I really enjoyed that. And I was, yeah, like I said, I was just a little disappointed it only sold 1 copy to Dave.
Yeah, so come in and get it.
Yeah, come and get it.
It looks like you got a bunch of them.
Well, that's the Image dump thing where they send me 35 extra copies. So I have plenty. I
can't believe I'm the only one who bought that. Wow.
But like I don't really want to sell them at a discount because I get credit for sending those back.
So I understand. Yeah.
Net, nothing. But yeah, so that was a really good one. And then, what I liked is there was a 5-star review on Comic Book Resources, which doesn't really do that except for Marvel books. They tend to love Marvel books. But it was just nice seeing 5 stars, which I thought was good. I don't know if it deserved 5, but it was definitely above average. It was a good book.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was good. How about Justice League?
Did I write that one
too? Yeah. Yes.
39. This is the end of the... Amazovirus.
Amazo.
Which actually, I loved how he looked at the end, where it was definitely Amazo.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that very much.
He looked a little too Solomon Grundy-ish during the attack. Yeah.
And I didn't mind how they beat him, because it was a way they hadn't tried, but I understood why they hadn't tried it. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
It's a very different creation of Amazo.
Yes.
From original continuity. They did have Ivo in Forever Evil, if you remember that, where he had robots that were built that looked like the Justice League.
Don't drag it.
Yeah. Let's just pick it up.
Someone just hurt.
Don't be as...
Let's see if everybody can say it.
Sorry, Chad. So...
I apologize.
Yeah, it... very different. It was good. The whole run was really good. I thought that mm-hmm. coming back after Forever Evil, I really like Captain Cold being on the Justice League.
I liked the banter with Wonder Woman.
Even that interaction was great.
And the way she said Leonard, he's like, I like how you say it.
Yeah. When you say it doesn't sound so bad. That was awesome.
Flash was stuck there, and he was just like, I got to get a picture of this.
Yeah, that was great.
Well, I never got him dead on like that before.
I knew something was up because I never caught him with a clean shot.
Yeah, like the banter in this book has been spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns just excels at that kind of stuff.
And
that kind of...
Well, he's written every one of them, hasn't he? Except for Wonder Woman.
Fabok?
Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. His art has been phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. No, he's done Batman, Bradley and Earth 1, but not main continent. Yeah. But yeah, really good. And Lex Luthor, you feel like something is still up with him and that he's up to something?
Yeah, so yeah. Whoever, something's going on with Neutron.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed we didn't get to hear who was behind the attempted assassination. But
yeah, no, something else is going on with him, which is good. I'm glad they just didn't say, all right, Lex is a good guy now.
Oh, yeah.
No, well, and the fact that he has Superman's blood. Yes. Now.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah, it was good. Really good.
Yeah, how about the first issue of Darth Vader from Marvel?
I liked it.
Didn't pick it up. I actually was going to pick it up last week, but I saw you were sold out.
I got more in.
Yeah, he's got more.
I liked it. It was a lot better than.
I thought it was. Yeah, I thought it was a lot better than the Star Wars books.
You made it like it was your fault.
Yeah. No, no. Just ask.
It's all your fault, Josh. You didn't order enough.
You were. No, I don't know what he did. I don't know what Josh did.
Why are you blaming Josh?
I didn't. You did.
You blamed Josh.
I did not.
You did. Yeah, you yelled at him.
You did.
No, I just said ask.
You kind of. You
kind of scored me.
I just don't want to listen to the podcast afterwards.
Well, one thing, you had that scratchy sound now.
One thing I found funny was people were like, gosh, that came out awful quick. I'm like, yeah, you noticed that both Star Wars 2 and Darth Vader 2 came out quick, which means we had to order number 2 before we saw how number 1 did.
Again, Marvel, I love that you over.
And I was saying before how Star Wars, you know, it's all variations on a theme. I don't think it worked too well in the regular Star Wars book, but I think there's some cool stuff in this book at the beginning with Vader walking into Jabba's palace and just as Luke did in Return of the Jedi. And I thought that worked. I thought that was pretty cool.
Where does Darth Vader take place in continuity with the other Star Wars
stuff? It's right.
Same. Yeah, it refers to the fight in number 2.
Okay.
The thing I liked about it is it was very much Vader as the henchman, not Vader as a Sith Lord. He was talked down to.
Yeah, demeaned
by
very,
the Emperor.
Yeah.
He was very much, as I remember from the first movie, kind of like Grand Moff Tarkin's assistant.
Yeah, he was kind of, yeah, he was the attack dog for Tarkin. Yeah. Yeah.
I think, who wrote this
He's
book?
Getting blamed for the destruction of the Death Star.
Who wrote Batman? Or Batman.
Karen Gillan.
Who wrote Karen Gillan?
Yeah.
He, I think he told the character, he wrote it better than Jason Aaron did with, like, translating the character, getting the character across. And everybody else. It's almost like he had a better feel for it. Even the, like the talk we did with Jabba going in.
Yeah, it felt natural. The stuff in the Star Wars book was just so forced.
Yeah.
Some of it.
A lot of it was just, and we talked about that when we talked about Star Wars number 2, is that they made it like too many moments in that book where you were like, oh, he saw the movie, you know?
It's right, just
like,
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We get
I'm
it,
say,
you know?
Exactly.
And Colin mentioned that a lot with, what was it, the racing and the shooting of the Womp Rats.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, okay, we've seen Star Wars too. That's why we're picking up the book. Yeah. You know, we know. But Darth Vader had none of that.
Wait, there's a Star Wars movie now?
Where it was like,
yeah, you're right,
and
exactly.
It was a good transition, because Pat was just asking about that. A good transition between, because everything, it's, did you read Star Wars?
Yes.
Okay. So Darth Vader was there at some point. He leaves.
Yeah.
That, what they were, you know, that battle with Luke and all that, he goes, and that's right after he left.
Okay.
So he's going to meet the Emperor and talk about his failure, basically. So,
he already lost a Death Star. I mean, how much more trouble is he going to get into?
They talk about that too, because all of this stuff, I guess, he finally talks to him about it. I like the art.
It's a counseling session for Darth.
I liked it. Yeah, that's what it was.
Good. Sit. Have a seat. We need to talk about your performance.
Performance review. Yeah. But
I'm gonna have to score you a 1.
And then who else did they talk to in that? Oh, they brought that guy back. Who was in charge of the
Fortuna?
Yeah, who was in charge of that base, and he brings him back.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's
the Emperor for, like, they're going to torture information out, or make sure he doesn't screw up again, or the guy who,
oh, the base that they go on in the first Star Wars.
His name, but yeah, in the first Star Wars comic, they brought him back with them, so he'll be able to.
I'm thinking you meant the movie, and I'm like,
no.
Okay.
Yeah, but back to the art, like the art, like when they showed, there's a panel where they had Darth Vader and like everything was black behind him, and they it looked like the movie. I mean, it really did.
Okay.
Yeah. The setting looked right, where I didn't think they exactly had the art style, like
correct in Star Wars. Yeah.
And I really don't see it with that Princess Leia book that's coming out. At least by the cover, I haven't seen really interiors.
That's
of
a mini, isn't it?
Yeah, but still, it, like the cover that looked not, that looked like more of Natalie Portman than it looked like Carrie Fisher. You know, it just did not.
At this point, I'd go with the Natalie Portman over Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, but I mean, you're wanting to make the characters look like who they are.
What about
the
like current day Carrie Fisher versus current day Natalie Portman?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But even current day Natalie Portman to 1977,
it's closer though.
Carrie Fisher,
like that.
That's a close. Yeah, no, you're right. That is a closer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's an argument there then.
Yes.
There's a conversation to be had, but now.
But time has not been kind to Princess Leia.
But I really think through all the talk that we had about Star Wars, a lot of us weren't like that happy with it because it's not. It's not as big as they hyped it up to be. It's not as it's not that interesting, you know. Darth Vader, on the other hand, was the total opposite. Like I think I
people loved it though. I mean, we didn't love it, but
you know what?
I'll tell you
the truth. People liked it because they were told to like it. A lot of them did. They were told it's going to be the biggest thing ever, and a lot of people fall for that. Good for Marvel, but. Well, I really didn't think it was as big as what.
There's an audience for everything.
Yeah, I mean, if they like it, they like it.
Some people genuinely
but
liked it, not because Marvel told them.
Maybe we're just cynical.
I think a lot of it.
Oh, I know I am, but I mean, some people genuinely had to have liked it.
I mean, going online, cynical. I mean, it's.
Well, he's Santa. He can't be.
That's true.
Come on. Okay, I don't know.
Although he does have the naughty list.
I love Star Wars more than anything, but I didn't like that second issue.
I can't say there's a lot of Star Wars people out there that would not have some sort of criticism for that book. I really don't. And even, like, I like to go online when they post this stuff and look at people's comments to see what other people are writing about it.
You need
I did see a lot
like
of negative comments.
Or something.
Yeah.
I don't even like to criticize Jar Jar, so I'm way out there.
Whoa!
Somebody did a cover of that. They drew him on there, and, like, he had the...
Dave, it's been nice having you at the podcast.
I saw one... A cover, somebody a sketch cover that somebody did with Jar Jar on the front. He had the Infinity Gauntlet, and he said, "He said Yusa and Big Doo Doo this time, or something like that." I was just like, "That's awesome."
I can appreciate that.
Yeah. But no, Darth Vader is worth picking up. I don't know about the second.
Colin, you have copies
of what Darth Vader?
Darth Vader.
I do. I might have a couple. I think it's.
Are you buying one?
Though.
Oh yeah, I'm even going to get a Secret Identities.
Ooh,
it should have been
I'm gonna double Colin's sales.
Gonna double down.
I'm not gonna go crazy.
Well, that's $2.
I'm picking up Teen Titans or Tiny Titans.
That's a fun book. That's
not for
it's Adam's favorite.
That's sure, fun. It isn't.
Art Balthazar.
You're gonna read it to her.
She is reading like crazy. The Frozen book that I bought here because I've been trying very hard to like push
comic books
comic reading. On her, but she was reading it yesterday, craziness. So hopefully the Tiny Titans goes over well.
If only there was a monthly Frozen series from Marvel.
You know, we got one from Joe Books. Sadly,
I just
sold want to pay
$4 out. A month for it.
What else you got, Dave?
About Southern Bastards.
Never heard of it.
Number 7.
Yeah.
It came out 2 weeks ago. Anybody read that?
Yeah, I read that. That was pretty good.
That book's not canceled yet?
This was a continuing flashback of Ulysses Boss.
Yeah.
And I don't think anything really crazy happened in this issue, but he finishes
up his high school football
career. Doesn't get any scholarship.
But you find out that not because he wasn't good enough, but because his high school coach screwed him out of it. He was bad mouthing him to, I guess, Bear Bryant, who was the coach of Alabama, had shown some interest in him as well as some other coaches, and he just bad mouthed the guy because he didn't like the family, and that, you know, pretty much killed any opportunity he would have had of going to college and getting out of was it Crawford County?
Crawford County, yeah. Yeah, so he ends up as the ball boy for the running Rebs.
And even that, it was, you know, at first he thought he was going to be a coach. He's like, no, you're not going to be a coach. You're going to be the ball boy.
Yeah, so he has a big run-in with his father, too, at the start of this issue.
There's some words we can't say, but yeah, they're present.
I'm looking forward to the second trade.
It's been good. I read the first trade, and then I started picking it up in issues. And
it's been good. I hope they get back into the present. I don't know if this arc is over with.
I think it has one more issue left.
I'd be interested to get back to the present and see what happens with... I forget his name. What's the character's name at the beginning?
Who?
The guy who gets killed?
I don't know. He's dead, so it doesn't matter.
From the first arc?
Yeah, from the first arc.
Well, I want to find out what his daughter's going to do.
That's what I want to find out. His daughter, what's going on with her?
What is his name?
It's totally...
See, the crazy thing about this is this second arc is setting...
Who was the main character?
He was the clear bad guy of the first arc. And now... You're seeing what he went through as a kid, yeah. and you're now making him a sympathetic character,
yeah.
Which...
And it's a tough guy to have sympathy for, but
right,
it's starting
but,
to have a
you know,
little
Earl Tubb.
Okay, Tubb. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and there's...
Rest in peace, Earl.
So what else, Dave?
Congratulations, you're fast.
How about one more Autumn Lands? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're
a full-blown dick tonight. Sorry, Dave. Call me a jerk.
Autumn Lands, Tooth and Claw, number 4.
The title.
Read that?
Is that the one with the wolf?
Yeah.
That she just showed? Was that what she just showed
on
the
cover?
Say
it the way the Pennsylvanians say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the wolf. What do you say in Pennsylvania?
Wolf?
Wolf?
Wolf.
Wolf.
I feel like Colin just made fun of you. You may have just been micro-slighted.
Yeah.
He's from Chicago. I mean,
that's
saga.
We call them wolves.
It's a...
Wolves.
Wolves.
It's a wolf. It's a wolf saga.
We call them mean doggies where I'm from.
Okay, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
In this
issue... Are you railing the podcast, Colin?
Speaking of wolves.
Wolves.
Speaking of a friend from work, we were talking about the toy fair.
Saga.
At the Pittsburgh Toy Fair years ago, he found Dancing with Wolves action figures.
Wow.
Did you know something like this existed?
Wow. They gotta
that,
be
what is that movie called in Pittsburgh?
Avatar?
Dancing with Wolves.
Dancing with Wolf.
Sorry.
You are no longer allowed to be called Pittsburgh Comics.
Transplanted Chicago Comics.
So you have the great champion. I don't know what the segue is.
He's like, why do I do this
I don't
every
know what
week?
The segue
Dave, you should
is
just
here.
Walk away and be like, I'm leaving.
I got to try to get through this.
It'd be great if we like turn back to Dave, said, go ahead, Dave, and he was just gone.
And we're just like, oh,
had enough. Gone.
And we just see him walking out the door. His car drives by.
Slay. Slay takes
it's
off.
Slay. Go on, Dave.
Led by wolves.
This time, Dave. Nobody ordered.
The great champion and Dunstan, some kind of dog. They're off. They find where the bison are. Who attacked all the animals? You know, it's this family. I don't know, Pat. Go ahead.
Whatever they are, yeah, they're some sort of. Is this the one where they introduce the that chosen one or whatever?
The champion.
The champion.
No, he's been in the past.
But this is one where he's finally like clothed and
he's on this chair. I don't know what that chair is about. He's on this chair that can walk around. So they go out to find the it's like MODOK and. They go out and find the bison.
See, you said there wasn't a market for a MODOK book.
Yeah. It's good. I just don't think it, like... I like it, but I just don't think it sells very well because people are very, like... I don't think... It has, like, a niche. It has to find that niche.
That's not the reason that book didn't sell.
Why? because of the
cheese.
Name change?
Too much cheese.
Yeah, but Secret Avengers has a lot of cheese on it. Yeah.
That's what we were talking about. Secret Avengers.
No, we're talking about Autumn Lions.
No, you brought up MODOK and why MODOK.
No, they brought that out a long time ago. We're talking about Autumn Lions.
Autumn Lions sells fine. I sold out issue 3.
Cheese in Secret Avengers has actually been pretty good.
Yeah, is it?
The way his character
is. I don't think it was something like S.H.I.E.L.D., well.
I've heard it's very different, though.
Which yes, make very, sense. Very different.
It doesn't make sense they're trying to say it's the same.
Are we talking about cheese? No.
Marvel Studios, yeah. Marvel Comics. Yeah. King, king.
Yeah. Two separate entities.
Clash.
Two so excited. Two pizzas.
Aren't you guys
which
so excited that
get?
Peggy Carter's finally done so we can get back to the regular Shield?
So it's like extra cheese?
Says nobody
wait,
ever.
There's a regular
and
Shield?
It falls in the buckets.
Is that the one with the Inhumans? Because we need 3 Inhumans titles? I'm sorry. Of course we need 3 Inhumans titles.
They got to do something with Charles Soule since
they
gave him...
They had to add Uncanny to something else.
Yeah.
Spider-Man next.
The Uncanny Spider-Man.
He's very uncanny. I don't think they know what that means.
We interrupted Dave again.
Yeah,
I'm done. Somebody else.
He gave up.
Fini.
F you guys. That's I'm going home.
Okay. From I'm jumping in. From whoa. Two, well, we can jump all over the place. But
you've
from
been jumping
two,
in for the last
over here.
You've been jumping in for the whole time. Dave's been trying
to
talk.
I've lost a feeling in my hand. Spider-Man 14: The End of Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of ended. Just oh, we need to end this. We're running out of pages.
Yeah.
Boom. Because it was just strange. You have these vampire guys who were unbeatable and totally unbeatable and eating Spider-Man left and right. And all of a sudden you turned around and...
And Peter Porker is there naked.
Yeah. And all of a sudden they're like...
Well,
yeah,
we all wanted to see that.
Oh, well, I'll go through this portal to this place.
Because you demanded
a
Peter Porker full frontal.
It was just over so fast.
If that's sicko
like,
who demanded
happened?
Is listening right now.
What?
Go after yourself. What? What? The guy who demanded the full frontal of Peter Porker.
Yeah. So what was up with Scuba Steve in that one?
He won't allow it.
I'm out. Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. But I just, it was a little rushed. Didn't make sense. Now, reading today's 15 made more sense, but it's almost like it should have been one giant issue. They would have been better off doing that because... That one just, it ended so abruptly.
Well, they have
not even abruptly, like,
no reason, so.
Scuba Steve just showed up and he, like, I'm not going to be with my family.
Scuba Steve. Okay,
these
now
guys,
I know who you're talking about. I'm like.
These guys have been such a huge threat the whole time. Yeah. And suddenly, Scuba Steve, who did kill some spiders earlier
with his magic tool.
In the whole thing.
Why are there so many?
Prongs?
Why is there? That doesn't help at any. Huh? Why are there so many moments on this podcast where we say somebody says something that totally means something else out there? Nobody's Colin, taking us seriously. This is why
Colin won the podcast. No, but this guy, he killed spiders.
He's got a magic tool.
Scuba Steve and his magic tool. That's the name.
So suddenly, Scuba Steve shows up. And he's friends with the spiders. You know, he killed some pretty violently.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
And then they beat these people that were this huge threat just by, like, throwing them in a hole. Like,
it was just, there was no, they've had that guy from the beginning. They make him a mysterious character who we're all guessing, well, who's this guy? What's he supposed to be? And then when they finally get to it, after he's killing all these things and stuff, he's just like, oh, yeah, but now I'm friends with everybody. And it's just like. Why?
It's not so much I'm friends with these guys, it's I hate you more since you banished me.
But there's a bigger problem. He never appeared in Spider-Verse.
Yeah, ever.
Yeah,
he
I know.
Was in the Superior Spider-Man prequel issues
right.
that I didn't read. So all of a sudden I'm reading and all of a sudden here's this guy. If you read Spider-Verse 1-6, he never appeared until the very end.
But you know what Marvel would say to you? That's your fault.
Yeah, I should buy I should get the $75 hardcover to read everything. Yeah.
It just
$75.
I also here's one of the things that I just didn't get is everybody. It seemed like why did they wait so long to show up on that Earth where the Inheritors live? Why did it take so long for that team? If that's all they had to do was all team up and go attack them all at once, why didn't they do that from the beginning? And then
because they were trying to build their team.
Odds that
based
all of the Inheritors
every
were
single,
on the planet and not on some random Earth somewhere?
Based on every single other encounter they had throughout the rest of this event, they shouldn't have all went there because they should have gotten their asses kicked.
Really? Yeah. Because that's what has been happening through this whole thing.
Yeah, but they actually should have hoped that all the Inheritors weren't there.
But somehow they got there, dominated the Inheritors, managed to switch a baby out for a naked pig who's like three times the size, wrap him up, and not have anyone notice, even though Morlun's standing right there.
I've been calling that Dan Slott, but anyways.
Like, are you serious? So you have these guys, you made to be this huge, you made them be this huge threat the whole time, and suddenly, in the last issue, they're a bunch of buffoons.
Yeah. Like, it just, I think the colonists said it right. I mean, it seems like they
mark this down.
Yeah. It seems like. Writing.
What did he say, right, Adam?
It was rushed. Like, it's almost like they said they had to have this, and they just went and made it real quick. And
you had four issues of them being just totally dominant, and then.
Yeah.
Were five issues. And then the last one, it just went boom.
There was no real story. It was just all these spiders jumping all over the place, and then they finally went and they got into a big battle, and then the bargaining chip was the father and the crystal, because somehow he died. He was easily killed, but he's played up, and the whole story is being like the strongest inheritor there is, but he was easily killed by the other.
Yeah.
And then.
And he's the author.
They were just like, oh, we got your dad here. We'll throw him in here and I'll leave. And that was the story of Spider-Verse. I mean, geez, you didn't even have to write a script.
Well, no, I'm saying they caught Morlun monologuing. And, you know, he's like, here, I'm in the middle of this ceremony. And then they got freaked out because the spiders were there. Wherein the whole arc, it was like, oh, really? Now dinner's coming to us. You know, it's like take in or take out. You know, not only did they become buffoons, but their whole demeanor changed.
Yeah, that was weird. And I hope, because I haven't read it yet, that the prologue here...
Epilogue?
Or epilogue, yeah, sorry. Shows, like, some consequences for what Superior Spider-Man did.
Yeah.
By killing the Master Weaver. Because it made him seem like he was a super important...
Yeah.
And that doesn't make any sense. The whole Superior Spider-Man thing makes no sense to me at all. Because, obviously, he went through time.
Now he's going to go back in time.
Now he should know that, because he knows Peter is the future back. Peter, so this, he knows. So you think he would have prepared for something.
No, this makes more sense to me now, because now I can see why he
may gave have up just at the gave end. Up and, yeah. and said, no, like... No, I could see that too, yeah.
That's a possibility. But I just don't think the whole thing... But you're looking
but
for that
one. But it's a pretty,
long
game to make your ending of the series
and
make
you're
sense.
Trying to,
so that's no Morrison. Yeah.
And there's so much chaos going on right now that... How are you looking for that type of thing? There's so much going on. Who's this guy in the scuba suit? Who's
Scuba Steve?
I was waiting for that.
His magic
toll. Yeah. So I don't know. I think there's a word for this story. It can't be said on the podcast.
Big
but
Daddy, whenever
it was a cluster of some sort.
Yeah.
And I think that's basically what
with
it was.
Fire truck
sort.
Yeah.
The cluster fire truck.
Hey.
And. I don't know.
Okay, moving on to a good book that we really liked. I'm going to let Josh take this one.
The one you just mentioned? Yeah, the Multiversity Mastermen.
Yes, it was.
The book was awesome. What an awesome first page.
Oh, my God. Adam, you posted that all over Facebook.
I posted it online because I was just like, everybody needs to see that.
I posted that like every hour.
No,
I
was
love seeing Hitler poop.
It was cool to see.
Why did you do that?
I gotta look at this book.
You didn't read this book?
No, I was waiting for it to come out in trade. I was gonna read all.
What's wrong with you,
Pat? No, I'll give him the. It's gonna be
a great trade. This might be the first one that I buy the trade, even though I have all the single issues. Because first we got Morrison's one issue version of Watchmen.
But even going back, I started thinking about the other issues, mm-hmm. and just everyone.
Oh,
has been
there hasn't
fantastic.
Been a single bad issue.
No,
not a single one.
The Pax Americana was.
And this one was Morrison's Red Sun, essentially in one issue.
Yep.
Thunderworld was good,
but Savannah was awesome.
Yeah,
the creepy German scientist.
He reminded me of the guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah,
yeah. And if you if anybody is didn't pick
but
up
still
the handbook
tying together
because
the Savannah from the previous
yeah.
issue.
If anybody didn't pick up the handbook because they thought it was just a handbook, they really need to
no,
pick
the handbook's
up
awesome. Get the handbook.
Because it's actually part of the
you
story.
You didn't buy the handbook, you're a sucker.
Yeah. I will say that they should have put numbers on the titles. Somebody came in like Saturday, they were interested in it.
You have to read them in order.
And well, it would be nice, though, if they were wanting to get them in
order.
Yeah, I do wish. It was just like, which one was here? And then some of them back there were mixed up, and I was just like, where did this go?
I do wish they just called it a series, and said Multiversity 1, 2, 3,
instead
whatever.
Of one-shots, yeah.
But the Jim Lee's art was phenomenal.
I get why, though, they
in this
that.
Issue. Yeah, I don't know. It was just another great issue of Multiverse. You got to see, there were some time jumps to start off with Hitler. The only thing that didn't make sense to me was the existence of that Superman comic. I knew why they tied it in.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Why yeah, did it that even didn't make sense. No, exist. you are correct. That it should have been something other or something generic.
Yeah.
But being Superman didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting the next one's Ultra Comics.
Yes.
And that one's been played up a lot.
Well, because that's been the book that they've been reading. Yeah.
Well, sometimes they'll switch it. Like, you'll see they're reading, like, another, but a lot of the time they're reading Ultra.
But every time they're, like, talking about, you know, the big consequences, it's always that.
It's the one that you're not supposed to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we shouldn't buy it. We can buy it.
Don't buy that book.
Yeah.
Don't I think that's what it says on the
cover.
Yeah,
it says it.
Does.
Yeah.
But no, so it starts off with Hitler taking a dump, reading the Superman.
Everybody poops, Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, even Hitler.
And it was a very, like, hard. Yeah. And then they take him, sure they found...
Everybody poops, even.
That's a podcast.
Yeah,
this is spiraling out of control. Sorry.
What Jiggy Jar Jar do?
Don't put that in my head.
They take Hitler because they found. All right, I'm done.
No, keep going. Adam
you
needs
finish,
to leave.
You finish, Colin.
Adam needs to leave.
Colin can explain the rest of this.
But it's basically, what if Superman landed in Nazi Germany?
Oh, okay, so it is just like Red Sun.
It is.
Except it's not.
With a much fancier rocket, though.
Yeah.
But this is a story that was already told, isn't it? Like, this was the original idea of that Earth.
This was a, crisis storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Okay.
But it was just, and the neat thing was, with this one, it doesn't give you the whole story.
It skips past the whole war and everything.
It skips past a lot, but then there's also something about how, what was it, how Jimmy Olsen brought him down, but they didn't really tell you, you didn't get that whole story. It really kind of left you wanting more.
Yeah.
Which this was the first one that I mean, especially because Pax Americana didn't, that was the whole story. You wanted more, but it was a whole story. This one, there definitely is more story to tell.
Okay.
It had an end and it was fine, but there certainly was more story.
Superman also was, or what they called him, what did they call him in that? Overman.
Overman.
Overman was very, he questioned himself a lot in this. And I kind of like that because he came off as a character that, because it's almost like,
well,
he showed up onto that, onto Earth. Where he was, it should have changed him completely, but it's still, you could still see some of Superman in him.
Well, that's how Red Sun was, too.
Yeah.
Kind of, but he never really questioned communism.
He didn't question communism, but he still had the same, like, beliefs, just his way of going about it was skewed from where he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did kind of like that, because even at the end of the story, when he, well, you know, not to ruin it for anybody, but, like, when he was there, he just seemed like he wasn't, like, totally into everything that was going on.
Mm.
And I kind of like that, because I was just, they even made a point that even the whole group wasn't really following the Hitler ideals anymore.
Yeah.
They were
to the point where they even,
too.
Like, criticizing Hitler's Hitler's ways.
Yeah.
I did like the different variations on all the characters. So that was very interesting.
But they still thought of themselves as a little, some of them I didn't like. Like, I didn't understand, and it's little things, but, like, I didn't understand why there was a Batman. Because, like, something like that didn't really make... If it was somebody else, like, it was some other type of character, because I didn't understand why. It takes a lot more for a character to be Batman or be this character. And this was the son or grandchild of the scientist that was working for Hitler who found the ship. And I was just like, what led to him? But, again,
it's probably the same reason
on...
why there's a Batman, though, in the different Earths. Like, Earth 2, why there's a Batman. I mean...
But that's the same reason. It's Bruce Wayne. It's this. So,
but I mean, I think it just goes. It's just trying to show that, you know, there's always fated to be a Batman. Like,
I guess
it's just something that's always
going to
occur.
I don't know. It was one of those things that I was just like, I feel like there's more to.
Oh, it's probably definitely
Batman.
More
but
to
that
it.
That leads us to the fact that maybe there should be more to this story that will explain that. Because I always thought it was kind of interesting there was a Russian Batman in that.
But yeah.
We never get any of those.
What I thought was interesting with the Red Sun Batman is that Batman was actively against Superman's character. What was Superman called in Red Sun?
I think he was called Superman.
Was he called Comrade Superman?
I think it was something like that, yeah.
But he was, Batman was a man of the people against, you know, the oppressive Superman, where in this, Batman was part of the, that league. The only thing I wish there was a bit more fleshed out was the Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
What are they called? Freedom Fighters.
They didn't play them as much as everybody else, which, again, that's why I'd like to see more from it. Being that this new multiverse has been made, I want to see more from this multiverse.
But for just a one shot, like for trying to fit it into a single issue, every single one has been great.
The whole thing is a four-parter, with the success.
At least three big ones.
Okay.
With the success of, I just like the face that you just made. You're just very confused by that.
he was waiting for Colin to
be inappropriate.
I was not.
Three big ones. That's what you were. Trying to...
You guys need to get your mind out of the gutter.
Anyways, with the success of Earth 2, though, I feel like they could do a lot. Like, don't overdo it and bring out a bunch of Earths, but some of these popular ones, see what somebody can do with them.
Well, yeah, it's nice when you have alternate story. And, part of the reason why we all like Justice League 3000,
I'm kind of torn. Like, some of them I would love to see more of, but at the same time, like, there's something to be said about just this one-shot taste of it to... You know, give you a great issue and then suddenly, like, walk away from it.
So what else you got, Colin?
Me? Silk, but honestly, I don't really remember it. Wasn't my favorite. She seemed very different from the Silk that was in the Spider-Man run.
I don't think Silk is a bad book. I think there's definitely a market out there for Silk. My problem with Silk is that the Silk we saw in her debut is very different, I think, than the Silk we saw in the main Spider-Man book. And it's very clear that this book is going for the same audience that Batgirl is going for, and it's written in a very similar fashion. They're very similar books.
Silk tweeting.
Just like the way, like, the dialogue is and the way the art is, it's very much, in that same vein as Batgirl, which is fine, but if you're trying to spin it out of Spider-Man, like with Batgirl, it was one way for 30 some issues and then a new creative team comes on and they decide to take it in a new direction. Fine. I'm fine with that. Not for me anymore, but it's fine. With Silk, if you are interested in the character in one book with the intent of spinning her off into her own book,
she hasn't built an audience yet.
You'd think that she would be portrayed the same way she was in that book that she just spun out of, not completely different. Like, if she was already established and took her in a different direction, it's one thing. But to say, for these few issues, she's this, and now here's her book, and she's completely different, it was weird.
So, she came out, she was naive, she had never been a hero before, whatever. Mm-hmm. You had the events of Spider-Verse and all
this
that went on there.
This is definitely post-Spider-Verse.
And that's what I said, because that's obviously going to have an impact on her. She's just introduced to the Spider-World.
Yeah, she was even saying how Spider-Verse had changed her and stuff. Like, she no longer had the big connection to Spider-Man. That she did before, where it was kind of like she was like all over.
Oh, that's different because she had that at the end of
trying
Amazing
to keep
Spider-Man.
Trying to stay away from him.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad book. It's well written. I think there's a market out there for it. I just don't think we are that market, which is fine. But
if you like Ms. Marvel, it's probably going to be a book for you.
I just think it was odd that it's so much different than her in Spider-Man.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
Being so negative, Josh.
Yeah.
I was trying to spin it positive.
It's not for me, but it's not a bad book.
Yeah. Like Ms. Marvel, I read Ms. Marvel for quite a while, and after the last arc finished up, I dropped it. And I think it's a good book. I was enjoying it, but it really, with everything else I'm buying, I just don't think it's really for me, so.
He got embarrassed.
No, I mean.
He was like, I'm not a teenage girl.
Well, some of the books I buy, like that book I was buying because,
my stepdaughter's starting to read, so I figure, like, that'd be a book that I, you know, would have that she would possibly enjoy. But after a certain point, I'm like, eh, I think I've had enough of me buying and reading this book every month.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But it's still there. I mean, Debbie will enjoy it or Adele will enjoy it, so.
Secret 6-2.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
I couldn't quite make heads or tails of it. It kept time jumping.
Well, cause the time jumping didn't quite
make a whole lot of sense to me. To show them breaking out, but then it was showing them also a year later where they were still held up.
No. And,
yeah. Or a year in the future.
No, it was showing it in the past when Catman was captured.
But I thought everything, like, where they were breaking out, that was all taking... Okay, maybe I read it wrong.
The time jumps were... Because
I thought it all started with him being captured and brought in and trying to figure everybody out. That's how it started.
That's how the initial book started. But what they were showing in this issue was how Catman was kind of freaking out about being being locked up.
Right.
In this...
But I thought that took place... That was, like, after...
No, what was going on?
Did I get it backwards?
I think so.
Okay.
So they were showing how Catman was kind of freaking out. Like, they're trying to solve the puzzle, and he's freaking out about it.
Because they were saying they were letting him out after a year. That's where that part was.
That was way in the past. That was way in the past, though.
Okay.
So when they were showing how Catman was freaked out about being in captivity,
right.
Then they were showing flashbacks to how he was in captivity way in the past for a whole year.
But that wasn't in the same... No. Thing. No. Okay, I took that different. As taking place in the future, year from where we were watching him being freaked out.
No, it was showing it was showing that as a reason for why he is so, like, freaked out now about being back.
Gotcha. Okay, I misread that, and I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. They're showing him breaking out, but clearly he's still there a year because he's
held up. Because he was released after a year and then captured again.
Gotcha.
I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the story. It was definitely focused on Catman significantly. I love the portrayal of the ventriloquist in this. She is extremely creepy.
Just a little.
Extremely. Like, she was good in the Batgirl arc that she was in, but this, she is super creepy, drawn really creepy.
Thing I don't like is that it's late because of the art, and I don't think the art's that great.
It's not.
To be late.
It has hints of being really good, but
it's
you
like
can tell
it could be great.
You could tell
it
was rushed, and there's no reason for the art to be rushed in a book that was delayed a month.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be good for the book whenever was it Doug Eaglesham?
No.
Yeah, I think he's coming out too.
Oh, he's coming on. I'm saying I mean, it's Ken Lashley's doing.
Yeah, Ken Lashley's on right now, but I think after Convergence, Eaglesham's coming on to it. So I think that'll be a nice change. But yeah, the art, it just, in some place it was almost distracting. It was so, like, rushed or muddy.
Yep.
But so you got the fleshed out Catman. You got, this book's fleshing out Ventriloquist powers a bit more. So in this, I can't remember what her dummy's name is, but he moves on his own.
Yeah. It's not Scarface, is it?
Yeah, he's kind of creepy, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was the Ventriloquist and Batman is.
No, it's a brand new thing.
So, he moves on his own, but it looks like she is telepathically moving him, because then when they decide they're going to try and escape, because they don't answer the question, so one of them gets injured, but...
She gets him at a birthday party from, like, a clown, and the clown's trying to, like, entertain her with a ventriloquist dummy. I don't think it's the same one, exactly.
No, it's the same one.
Is it?
Yeah.
And she... Because
we saw it in the Batgirl and also the villain.
Yeah,
thing.
It started in Batgirl, yeah. That's when she... It is a really creepy version.
But anyway, so they ask her what else, like, she can control or move telepathically, or how big, and so they have her raise the room that they're in that's underwater, and that's how they escape. But
it was
good. Like, I think the story's great, but like, Colin's right, the art just... has hints of being great, but other pages just don't look.
Too many people are telling you you're right today.
Yeah, it's but
crazy. You suck it up.
I think the book has a lot of promise. I'm looking forward to it post conversions.
Okay, next one I have is Thor 5. Anybody?
No.
Okay. No. Odin has decided that he wants to know who Thor is, or she Thor. That's the only thing I can call her. There's too many Thors.
Thor.
Where Thor at the end of issue 4 was like perfectly okay with it.
And so now, this is where it gets weird. Odin brings in his brother, who was the serpent in fear itself. Well, they're all gods. They all come back anyway. Yeah. But he's trying to figure out who she is and going on this thing. And I'm just like, really?
Aren't you, like, all-powerful?
Well, not... Well, there's something... Like, when they look in, like, the magic mirror or whatever, they can't... Who she is blurred. There's something blocking them.
Can he just bring her just to, like, Asgard? Really?
This guy did, like, a lot of bad stuff, and you're unleashing him on Midgard again? Just...
He learned his lesson.
Yeah, it just... It was one of those... This is a horrible idea. So it was a different artist, but it definitely shows that... Hopefully it won't take 2 years, like with Red Hulk, to figure out who she is. And then we're getting a break for Thor's The Secret Police. So we'll see where that's going. It wasn't bad. It just story-wise.
Thor's Secret
Police? No, just Thor's. It's called Thor's. Oh, okay. But that's what they are. So, yeah, I mean, it's continuing the book, which has been good. It just, that was a little jarring bringing him back. Because I'm looking at him like, he's really familiar. And then they say who he was. And I'm like... And Thor is really upset about it. He's like, I killed you once, Thor. It's like, ooh.
Oh, Sam.
You know, how often do you get to say that?
Yeah.
And then Walking Dead, which I know Adam loved.
That was awesome. Well,
thank you for posting that picture.
That was his favorite.
It's actually, I think the story has been a lot better than it has been for a long time. You know, there's a lot more going on, and it's a lot more interesting dealing with the people that are in this. But
what now?
That's all it needs. He wrote it.
His magic tool.
And,
Carl's.
Carl's magic tool.
That was involved in this story.
Carl Papa.
Gee, Jar Jar, dude.
I was trying to do the singing zombies, but didn't.
You're not important anymore, Colin.
You couldn't get that high note. We discussed that the last time. But yeah, no, I think the story's been good. It's just that panel with him, her look in the eye socket. Is a little much. But otherwise,
you know what? She used to wear. Yeah, I was going to say she was wearing a zombie. Yeah.
No, I'm
face,
not saying
so.
She's not. I'm just saying it's a little much for everybody to. I don't want to see... Frankly, I want him to be wearing his eye patch.
Adam didn't understand the feelings he had when he saw that.
I want Carl...
Girls do that?
I feel wrong. I want... all sorts of
Dad,
wrong.
I was reading this book, and...
Colin sold it.
Hope you paid out with the comic book legal defense fund.
The,
Whatever's in his head isn't my fault.
The, I kind of want Carl to be wearing the eye patch anyways, though, so... but it's kind of
Mooney?
it's all going in the
spoiler
direction.
Alert.
It's all going in the direction that I'm kind of thinking that it's going to be going into, where he is.
Wait till you do.
Carl is becoming more.
Negan?
It seems like, well, not necessarily Negan, but I think he's going to clash, and I think, you know, one of these areas is going to be run by Carl eventually. I think, because Carl and Rick have two different ideas of how things are, because. Rick is a person who basically, for the majority
of his
life,
grew up in a normal society
where Carl, for the majority of his life now, maybe not the majority, but you know, a lot of his life now is going to be growing up in this world.
Yeah.
And they're two different types of people with two different ideas, and I think that's going to clash. Now that especially he's a teenager and he's going to have these issues to begin with of clashing with him just a little bit.
Sex with zombie
chicks.
It's
going in that direction, though. And then we had in this issue where there's like an uprising happening in the book where the original mayor,
I don't know what his name is,
you know, out of shape guy with goatee, whatever his name is.
Kind of looks like the neighbor from King of the Hill. Not Dale, Bill.
Bill, yeah. Kind of him. But he's pretty useless, and we learned that in the previous arc, that he just isn't a leader of sorts. He's basically, you know, at the time, he was just like, oh, we'll give them what they want, you know. But, you know, it was working out for him. But, yeah, a lot of this book, all we've seen so far is the survivors and the hilltop, and that's about it. So we haven't seen.
Yeah, we still haven't seen the kingdom
of the kingdom, and we haven't seen anything left of.
Well, we haven't seen the survivors yet.
Well, no, survivors we've seen. It's the saviors we haven't.
Or the savior. Yeah. That, okay, that's what I was thinking. Saviors.
The saviors we haven't seen. So I don't know. I mean, it's going, and I really like the previews. They show a future issue where it's just like the next cover is. Not the next cover, but a future cover is Negan walking out of his jail cell.
That's one in 2 months. That's one that's in this.
Yeah, it's in this preview. So I forget what the tagline, because they always have a one-liner to the everybody else has like a whole summary of the book. They have like one word.
Yeah.
And it explains enough. But it's been good. I've liked it a lot better than the television show so far, but we'll talk about that some other time.
Yeah, it's already after 10 o'clock. I need
more time for that. So, but it's been good. What's next, Carl? What else?
That's all I have.
That's all you got? I'll go. Future's End. Future's End, we've had two since we did the podcast. It's basically Brainiac is starting up. It has reached Earth, and he's become like some sort of giant monster of some sort. And everybody's kind of...
Well, no, that is Brainiac. The Brainiac that they've always seen before is not Brainiac. He hasn't become a giant. That is him.
That's Brainiac, yeah.
Everything else has been an extension of him.
But he built himself up, like, in the story. Like, he materializes into whatever he is.
He's essentially V'ger.
Yeah. But anyways...
Star Trek reference. Yeah.
Star Wars?
Yeah. But he's
Boba Fett's cousin.
Right now, he's doing his attack, and basically, looks like he's trying to take New York.
He's not really attacking. He's taking New York.
It looks like, he's doing what he always does. Or whatever this one does, or whatever.
Which is how we get New 52 characters in Convergence.
Yeah. So that's how we're... so that's what's happening. And, that's right.
You know who the big bad is in Batman Eternal. Mm-hmm.
I do. And that's the thing I was talking to him about.
I do. Do you know
who? Well, I kind of guessed it by the clue already that was in the book. And he confirmed it for what he thinks. Anyways, so they're taking New York. And that's basically it for him. And then Batman and Mr. Terrific are fighting. Over, you know, what he's doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Brother Eye, and he's trying to fix it. But what Brother Eye, I think where we're leading to is basically Brother Eye has just turned himself online to everything, just like we were told that was going to happen. I think he might take over Brainiac. And I think he
that's
might kind of
what I was.
Brainiac,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And then that's what creates the future for that. So we're getting close to the end of the story, so something is going to cause that not to happen.
My only problem, like, these two issues have been pretty good, but I feel like it really ramped up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it has, because it got slow there, but I feel like, okay, there's only four issues left. There's a lot to get
done. Yeah, and I almost feel like it's kind of Marvel event-ish, where suddenly, like, they've gotten to the end, like, holy crap, we have a lot of stuff to do, and there's only four issues left to do.
Well, but the upside is they have four issues, so essentially you got 80 pages to wrap up the story.
Yeah, it was just a lot of slow issues. I mean, not that it was bad.
There was.
Not a whole lot happened in those issues.
There's a lot going on multiverse goes. Like, they're showing us things that, you know, on the cover they have the old Earth 2 and stuff like that. So I've been wondering about Convergence, how it'll tie into this.
Well, I like that Superman came back, and then Shazam gave up his...
He had no reason anymore.
Yeah, he's like...
That was it, so...
Hold on. Shazam.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the Joker Batman monstrosity, is it gone? Is it dead?
No, it was still online. Yeah. But
it looked like it like blew its head off or something.
Oh, yeah, it may have gotten...
Because it was laying on the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, no, one of those orbs fell in him.
Yeah. Well, that's right. He
straight on. Yeah, yeah.
Batman,
he timed it.
Terry McGinnis asked Alfred to...
give me a pattern.
He got him right where he needed him. But I don't know. It's ramped up, but it's been good. The ending has been really good. So, Batman Eternal, the last two issues have been really good as well. They were... They were questioning that Dr. Milo. I don't know if that was the last two issues.
It wasn't that, was that
when he was leaving the airport and he takes him?
Yeah.
The big clue that I had in that was basically it narrowed it down that
don't give away.
Well, I'm not. I'm just giving the clue that was in the book that he was that a little bird told him, or something like that to that effect. So it narrows it down to all these bird characters that we have, which there are a bunch of bird characters in DC, but.
Stupid Hawkman.
Yeah, it could be Hawkman. It could be anybody. It could be a Robin. I mean, you got Red Robin. You have... Red Robin. Yeah, well, no. But you have Jason Todd. Jason Todd's been a bad guy, but who knows what they'll do. But that's kind of the thing. It's been... That was good.
I like the stuff with Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, the Ra's al Ghul stuff, I think I just really like. They also drew Ra's al Ghul better than a lot of the times they'll draw him.
Yeah.
That Jay Lee cover was awesome. But yeah, he kind of questions if it is Ra's al Ghul. He goes and tries to confront Ra's al Ghul, and he already had a plan set up that he was going to stop him. And it ties together with Batman and Robin, where he fell into the cavern, the ravine.
Right.
And then he is already all beat up, so he's just like, I can't do this right now. And it makes sense, because I like how they kind of knew how to write Ra's al Ghul. Because they said in it, he says, if I'm going to attack you, I'm going to attack you
when you're at your strongest.
Best, yeah. Not when you're at your worst.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drag you down and then be...
I want you to think you're eternal like me, and that's when I'll defeat you.
And it throws the title in there, Batman Eternal, which I was like, they did that like perfect.
Yeah.
It's just really good.
That was actually the name of the issue, too. It was Batman ... Eternal, and then it was a question mark.
Yeah. And, you know, then he shows him, like, all these futures and, you know, things that could happen and... A whole bunch of things.
That was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
I really like that.
Characters that we haven't seen for a while. Did they ever tell you about did they ever mention Dr. Phosphorus? Remember, he was like marching through the sewers or something. Did he ever do anything?
I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just kind of lost.
Not sure.
There's so many characters doing stuff.
That was a Batwing part, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if he was responsible for Arkham, because he wasn't responsible for Arkham collapsing. That was...
Spectre did that.
Yeah, it was Spectre fighting Deacon Blackfire.
That's right, yeah.
So I don't know. All I know is Batman Eternal has been really good. I'm going to miss that, whatever happens to it, because
that should return. Really, I think they said that was going to return for a second.
If it does, it does. But they have to have a reason, not just because it was good, just because... You know, they have something that they're going to tell with this.
Well, not only... I think it's a good way for them to test out who's going to be writing Batman in the
book. Even if they don't have to have a Batman Eternal book, if it's not called Batman Eternal, a weekly Batman book.
I think what makes Eternal work is that you have, you know, Snyder, who had this big, like...
He had a big overall story.
And you have these writers that are all, you know, skilled with the Batman, you know, universe... That are helping to plot this story along. I think if you have a book like Eternal without an endpoint in sight, then it kind of goes the way of like Wolverine's.
You have to have a structure
going
of what you're gonna do. You can't just, you know, have it out there just to have it.
You can't just say Batman's awesome, so we want to do a Batman book.
Otherwise, it'll just go on forever and ever.
You could,
and I think that's how Scott Snyder seems to write is that he has some sort of overall structure of what he's wanting to do in as a long run.
With everything,
not just arc. He's wanting to do,
you know,
and somehow tie.
I want to do all this, but we're gonna plant a clue here, a clue here, a clue here. Yeah,
because he ties all of his arcs into. Yeah. What a large story.
We'll just look at Endgame. I mean, that's something that's spun out of, like,
issue.
Well, I haven't read it yet,
that's what I'm going to do when I go home. World's End.
World's End's been really good.
To me, World's End has become Earth 2, because Earth 2's book has kind of went, you know, down a little bit. It's just basically...
Well, it's also a weekly trip to Earth 2.
Well, that's the thing. Well, Earth 2 has become like the companion to World's End.
Yeah.
I feel like. It's still good. But World's End is the Earth 2 book now.
Well, it's sort of the way that Forever Evil did the same thing with the Justice League book.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. That's exactly how that is. In this issue, it's whatever they call it, is it Death Child or something?
The
baby that...
Came out of Death.
Yeah, Death was impregnated by Darkseid.
Mm-hmm. I just pictured the baby from 2001.
And they have this, you know, death baby, and it's born, and it basically its mission is to destroy the planet. It's basically to get...
It's going
to
destroy the planet's core.
Yeah. And they are... The baby goes into the core because that is where all of the characters are. Or the
parliament
of
the parliament. Yeah,
the parliament's there. And she's going... the death
George Clinton,
baby,
Dr.
whatever,
Funkenstein.
Yeah, is going in there to fight, to kill them all, and then destroy the core. And when you destroy the parliament, one of the members, you actually hurt
the
Avatar.
Avatar.
And so they go into the... All of them are kind of out of it besides Green Lantern. And she's the one he's fighting last, the parliament member of the Green. He jumps into the hole that basically he went through and fights. Doesn't really fight him, but kind of scares him off and then jumps straight into the core. And that gives the rest of the parliament, besides water, time, because water, I guess...
Water's destroyed, yeah.
Yeah, which I have a problem with that. But I'll get to that. Gets into there, does whatever he has to do. They're trying to figure out, you know, he wants to jump in, but they're like, no, we'll take care of this. You go deal with whatever. We need to shield the planet.
Yeah.
The planet Earth. Because basically, Apocalypse, it seems like it's
opening like a cocoon
and wrapping around the planet.
Yeah.
And it's actually devouring the planet. It's basically using it as fuel. And that's kind of where you're at with it. And my problem with the book is that it's one of those things where the water parliament, he was at the end of the story alive. He was awake.
Well, it doesn't mean that he won't wake up.
Yeah, but his well, maybe. Maybe. That's the only thing. I don't know. And his character, but the water avatar is dead, like, is what they said.
Yeah.
It's dead. So...
Right, because they had to combine their powers, and they ended up giving everything to Green Lantern.
Yeah. And Dick Grayson is looking for his son. And he is, he meets up with the characters that were with Constantine, because that's who he gave them to. And then something else is going on where Brainwave has actually, like, taken over some people as well. Because anybody that you see with eyes are glowing, they've been an issue. So that's going to lead to something in the story. World's End has been really good.
But that's another one. It's got 4 issues left, and it's got a lot to wrap up.
Yeah. And I don't think, with World's End, I think you could start with World's End number 1. And it'll explain, because I think World's End number 1 was the summary book.
It
kind of summed up everything that's been happening. So
there
I
were
think
a couple questions I had
like
with
that,
but after about the 3rd or 4th issue, it's pretty clear sailing at that
but
point.
Really worth picking up. That's a really fun book. I think it was an unsure weekly book, because I don't know how many people were reading Earth 2. So you might like it, because it's a really fun, fast-paced book.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in it for one book. Batman and Robin. That was 2 weeks ago, right?
No, it was last week.
Was it last week?
Yeah.
The book was awesome.
Batman and Robin was really good.
Yeah.
It kind of tells you a little bit about Damian that they're questioning about his powers, and basically maybe he might not be... He's invulnerable, but he might just also be just not feeling pain.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Yeah.
It's that.
But he's not bleeding from these... So.
No.
No, so he's invulnerable still. So it's not really Superman, but... Kind of Superman in some ways.
I did like the... there was a couple things. I liked the banter he had with Shazam when they were in the Watchtower.
Phenomenal.
Who else would banter with him like that? You know?
You have these two teen...
You get a regular kid.
Heroes.
And you get a kid that's not regular at all. You know, very adult-like.
You have one who wants to just be a kid.
Yeah.
Like
one that wants to be an adult.
One that wants to be an adult, yeah. So, it was fun. It was, and Batman, you know, wanting to take him up to this Justice League mission, and he's just like, you know what, you're better off coming along. You know, so.
But I also like the conversation. I like the conversation he had when they were fishing. He's like,
yeah.
You know, well, do you know what it is? Oh, I have a guess. Well, your guess is good enough for me.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it shows that there's a true father-son relationship there, even though, you know, well, we just got to get a fish. He stabbed the fish, picked up the boat, and flew it back to Alfred. I mean,
this book has always thrived, like, on the conversations between the main players. And I think Tomasi very accurately portrayed like how Damien would act if he had these.
I think he does a good job. There's been a lot of people out there that have had a hard time, I think, rating Damien, that they just think he's just kind of a kid with an attitude. But there's a lot more behind Damien.
He writes him as like this kid who is kind of, you know, with an attitude or kind of snarky, but at the same time,
there's a lot of artists too that can't draw him.
Yeah, but like at the same time, he writes him in a way that he has good intentions.
Yeah.
He wants his father's approval.
He's trying to please.
But he also, he has, you know, the ideals from the League of Assassins in his head, and that's...
And he grew up with a certain way that he's that he's supposed to think. He's still... And he's also trying to impress... He's trying to impress Batman with what he knows, but what he knows isn't how Batman works.
Yeah.
So it's... You know, that's why the animated movie that they had, I don't think really explained him very well. They just were like, kid attitude, you know. That's not him. The stories, I think they do a better job of explaining. And Grant Morrison did a good job of explaining him. But it was good. Really good. We talked about Walking Dead. Batman Superman. That has been fun. And I don't remember who the character is. If any of you read Mars Superman, he's a main. He's the Superman bad guy that looks like kind of a mummy. He has wraps around him, and he's like one of the first people they put into the Phantom Zone. Basically, the whole story. I've been talking about this book before. To sum it up, people have been being assassinated. They figured out that they're after the people with Superman's logo, basically, and people that are close to him. Batman says it's kind of like your version of the Joker that's doing this. That's who we have to figure out. Somebody's just wanting to see you, just for the fun of it, fail. And it turned out that they were the people that the bullets were actually citizens of Kandor that were actually used as the bullets.
Okay.
And so they find Kandor, and using Palmer's technology, they go into Kandor to see what's going on. By the looks of it, like Kandor is like a war zone now. So they go into it to see, you know, what's going on. And it turns out that they've developed kind of a bad attitude towards people, towards the family of El. And, the reason for this is because whoever that villain is, I don't remember his name, but I'm sure Superman people out there are listening to this and they're just like, it's this guy, but he has all these wraps and stuff like that around him. And he's one of the first people they threw in there, but basically he's been changing their history to them. He kind of took over and is changing the history of them a little bit of who the family is, and that they made him think that Jor-El was an evil person. He's the one who did it and blew up the planet, and you know, he's the one who did it. Wasn't Brainiac, it was him who did whatever he did to Kandor and imprisoned it. Now his son, who's equally as evil, is taking over and, you know, ruling over us, and that changes their attitude towards
Superman.
Yeah, and that's why he's just out to get him. It's just been fun. It really has. That book's very on and off sometimes, Batman Superman. I know, you know, I've talked to people and they're just like, well, I read it and then it got to this part and I kind of stopped. And I was just like, Greg Pak has done a really good job with that book. And I've liked his take on Superman, for one. And I know you read Action, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And you said Action was good. And this was really good. Just, it's a fun book to stick with. Some of the stories aren't great, but not all of them are going to be.
You know, I was liking it for a while there. It was just that crossover that killed it for me.
Yeah.
The world's finest.
But this arc, I think, has been one of my favorites of it. And a lot of people had a problem with the world's finest crossover they had. And I know, I forget who said that. Somebody said that they had that same problem with it. So, and Justice League 3000.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That book is fun. And
yeah.
It talks about Ice, and they're trying to go into her backstory a little bit, and she, because of what happens to Fire in the regular time, Fire is taken to hell, and she tries to go after
her. Yeah, she tries to get her back, and it doesn't work.
She doesn't want to leave. She doesn't want to leave.
Stretch.
And she basically kind of, it seems like she kind of gives up, but she's just like, she doesn't have anything else that she wants.
That's exactly what she gives up. So she's like, I'm just going to go to sleep.
She puts herself in this some sort of hibernation, And when she wakes up, she's at the Great Disaster, which is from, what's his name, Colin? The Great Disaster.
Commandy.
Commandy. And Commandy has no language yet. He can't talk. He can't do anything. And then she tries to teach him how to talk, and she just gives up, and she decides to put herself back to sleep again.
Yeah.
And then he starts to actually say, like, a few words. And
well, what we did learn, right? But what we did learn was that even though it says it's new 52 continuity, it's not.
It's not.
It's like Earth 51 or
that's
something.
That's what they're
like
saying.
That.
It's not something that they've actually said. But
what is Bleeding Cool?
Basically, yeah, Bleeding Cool was the one who said that. They're close. It seems like it though.
Yeah.
And Earth 51 in the multiversity is basically Jack Kirby Earth. And if you look at the multiversity map, it actually has the Kirby dots around it.
Okay.
That's how you kind of differentiate that. But a lot of that, I think, is happening in multiversity in the handbook issue where you had Darkseid from that and stuff like that. But
okay.
We can get but she puts her back to sleep, wakes up again at a time where, like, the animals are kind of man-like now, like tigers and stuff like that, which leads us to the same stuff with Commandy. And she sees man as the enemy in that, though, because they try to attack and they seem more peaceful. And she gets so tired of that, she puts herself to sleep again. So it's a lot of the time she's putting herself to sleep.
It's a book about somebody sleeping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she goes.
Hitting the snooze button over and over again.
But in order to do that, she goes to Camelot. And she puts herself to sleep there.
Yeah.
And then she's just stays there. And then.
But when she shows up to Camelot, she's treated like.
It's hard to explain because there's a lot going on in that whole thing. And that leads us to where we are. And it's good. If that's the reason. What the theory of Bleeding Cool? But kind of makes sense because. You also have Blue Beetle and that. And if it is from pre-52 continuity, because this is pre-52 Blue Beetle,
mm-hmm.
Well, he would have been dead because Ted Kord died. I don't know if they brought him back to life in Brightest Day, though. That's the only thing I don't know.
I don't remember him coming back in Brightest Day.
But it shouldn't be pre-52. And then at the end of the book, basically, Etrigan is doing his thing, and it turns out that he has the head of Darkseid in a jar, basically. What? Kind of Futurama-esque.
Governor-esque. Yeah. He has men fish tanks.
Yeah. So, yeah, or Governor-esque, yeah. It's fun. It really is. That's a book. I really like these type of books that are just very...
they're off-continuity.
Yeah, a little bit, but they're also a little bit of different time periods, different multiverses. It's very DC-like. You know, I like the idea of that kind of thing. I think that's why I like Earth 2 and Multiversity. I'd like to read more of this because they have such a... If you're going to have this thing, this big multiverse, you might as well use it to tell as many stories as you possibly can.
Colin, you disagree? You're saying
I want to see what
he's saying. I want to go to sleep.
He wants to see that.
And he still has 5 hours worth of dead entries.
But that is what I read.
Okay. Well, I think that's good. We're like,
Pat doesn't get it
right. Oh, Pat, go ahead.
I'll just talk about one real quick. Letter 44.
I'll be quick on mine, too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're
at the 2.5 hour mark.
That's okay. So, letter 44. This was an issue. They kind of showed what happened before they went up to space, and it was kind of talking about how they pieced together the team. And it was specific about the colonel, who's the team leader, and the Sergeant Willett, who was with him. And you find out they have this kind of history going back where this Tech Sergeant Willett had saved the colonel like 3 or 4 times from these just really weird things. So Willett gets there and he goes through his training, and the whole time he's asking questions because he's an engineer. He's like, well, okay, I see how your power system works. When can I see the ship? I see how the electrical or the water system works. When do I get to see the ship? And then when he finally sees the things, he goes to the colonel and says, this isn't going to work. This is a one-way trip. There's no way you're going to make it. And he gets arrested for it. And basically it's one of them deals where you just disappear. So in order to get him out, the colonel agrees to go on this mission, says, but I only fly if this guy comes with me. He's the one that saved me so many times. Because the whole time, this guy's kind of been an ass. It's like, knowing that they're going to be up in space for years, why would they send this guy? Well, now you see why they send him. So this has been a good book. The last issue, you kind of, they told you, you know, yeah, you think we're the bad guys, but we're here to protect you from something that's even worse. I'd like to get back to that to kind of see, okay, now you've hooked me, what's coming? But this was kind of good to go back and see how the team is formed.
The ones I want to mention real quick, Ivar, Time Walker, number two. It was really good. Okay. I'm really enjoying this book so far. It has a definite, like, Doctor Who vibe to it, where you have Ivar and then, I can't remember her name, it's like Neera or Neela, his companion, that she was about to discover time travel and he came and got her and said he has to protect her. So they're going through time, and he's kind of going through, like, how time travel works and how certain things, you know, can and can't be done. And one thing they touch on is, you know, the age-old, like, going back in time and killing Hitler. So
that happened, Doctor.
They should have done it while he was taking a poop.
Yeah. So they go back in time, and he, you know, shows her how, like, the universe has these fail-safes built into it almost to prevent people from going back and making these huge altering actions. And throughout it, we're seeing glimpses of other time frames, as well as we see travelers from even further in the future that are back there. He says all time travelers at some point in time try and go back and make a name for themselves by, you know, assassinating Hitler. And it was just, it was a really, really fun book. There's another, you know, interesting thing going on where we see, you know, he's with his companion who he's telling her that he's protecting her. But we also see a future version of her where she's like half cyborg and leader of these, you know, cyborgs. And she's saying that they have to, you know, get him. So it's curious to see where it goes. And we also have like cameos from Galad, the Eternal Warrior's brother, in there as well. We saw him in the first issue on a ship in the 1800s. And now in this one, we see him in Nazi Germany as one of the soldiers. So it's, so far it's off to a pretty solid start. Unity came out last week, and Unity is their Valiant's team book, so their version of Justice League or Avengers, but this issue focused just on Ninjak, and Ninjak is really Valiant's version of, you know, Bruce Wayne. He is this, just a normal guy, doesn't have these superpowers, but he is very highly skilled, extremely rich, has all these different gadgets, and again, just his behaviors like that of Batman or Bruce Wayne. So I think this is a setup for his book that comes out. I think, is it April that Ninja comes out?
Sometime around there.
But it was good. It was a bit different from how it's been, since it just focused on one character. But it was a good intro to how the Ninja book is gonna feel, and especially since it's written by Matt Kent, who writes Unity too. It gives you an accurate idea of how it's gonna be. Then the last one, Valiant number three, the Valiant number three came out last week, so that only has one issue left. This issue was really split into two halves, where you had the Eternal Warrior with the entire rest of the Valiant universe going up against, you know, the Immortal Enemy, and seeing just how powerful he is. They think that they, you know, have beaten him just for him to rise up, you know, and laugh in their faces and dominate them. And the other half of the book, you see Bloodshot with the Geomancer, where he's kind of trying to keep her safe. It's good because with all the action you get on one side, then you have like a lot of great banter between the two of them, even references to Minerva Maul and Dawn of the Dead. So it's a really good book. The art's beautiful. Paolo Rivera's art. It's definitely leading into the Bloodshot Reborn series that Jeff Lemire is going to be doing. So it's, so far, it's one of the best like event books that I've read in a while. I'm curious to see how they wrap things up with number four.
Cool.
That's it.
Okay. Quick. Well, as we've... No, we're not quite at the...
You must have started.
It doesn't mean we have...
Like, yeah, we started.
We're not recording.
I don't... Oh, crap. No. Yeah, we won't quite hit 2.5 hours.
So we'll talk about another book, quick.
No. So coming next week, the question people had was, would the old Hawkeye series end before the new Hawkeye series began? And the answer is no. All new Hawkeye number one next week.
And then all old Hawkeye?
Yeah. And then we have Avengers. Avengers and Avengers World are both time runs out books.
It's going to be a flashback issue.
Could be.
Big Man Plans, which I believe is the Eric Powell book, I believe. I'm not 100% sure. Oh, no, that's Image. Never mind. I don't know what that is. Blood Queen and Dracula, number one. I am just not. Give me a. Things. Yeah, I'm highlighting number ones. Cluster, number two. I really like number one. Number one was the story of, like, this prison planet where the it's being attacked. It has some assets that they want. They're trying to, like, colonize, and there's these natives that are keep attacking these things, and these prisoners have to go out, but they only can go out for 24 hours, so if you try to escape, your insides will liquefy, and they get attacked, and now they have to, like, find their way back to the prison before the time runs out.
Before they liquefy.
But it wasn't anything their fault, just that's what's going to happen. Descender, which I think is the new Jeff Lemire book from Image, that comes out next week.
Yeah, him and Dustin the Wind.
Yep. Detective number 40, so we're starting to get all the stories are supposed to wrap up in the 40s, so this could be interesting. So that detective story should wrap up. We've got Green Arrow, Green Lantern. Guardians team up, because we need another Guardians book. Halogen number 1, which is a Boom book, I'm not 100% sure. Harley is a new one. Imperium number 2. Joker and Harley Quinn statue. A lot of people asked me for that. That's why I ordered 4 of them. That's where I think it's the cover. It's the cover. Yeah. It's the Alex Ross cover. Yeah. One of my favorites is the Littlest Zombie Summer Dead Special one shot that I ordered back in May. That should have shipped in July. So I'm thinking March is a perfect time for that.
Zombies move slow.
They do. They do.
They're unreliable.
We have Nameless 2 and a book called Never Boy. That's a Dark Horse book. Palmati and Brady's Big Con Job, which I think they turned into Tom Brady is on the cover of that now. But yeah, it's Big Con Job, which I'm not sure who that is.
Has it been a month since Nameless came out?
I don't know.
No.
Princess Leia comes out next week with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different covers. 7 different covers.
That's not confusing.
No. We also have Project Superheroes Black Cross, which is kind of a follow-up to the Project Superpowers of before, but this is written by Warren Ellis, so that should be interesting. Saga, 26. Spider-Woman 5 with the new improved Spider-Woman, who looks totally different than the Spider-Woman from the first 4 issues.
I like how A4 she has the same costume, her old costume.
Oh, well, remember, that's different.
I know.
That's a different. That's not Wonder Woman's. Oh, that's
her new costume fell off the pizza.
Oh, man.
Her new costume fell off.
What? Okay, so I'm sorry. We could ramble on for an additional 5 minutes,
no.
But I really want
to
go home.
So the 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Pretty
we've
much.
Rambled?
Pretty
it's
much.
Podcast,
so
out.
That's a podcast.
Good night.
Oh, Friday. What's going on Friday?
Oh, Friday we got Adam Warrock is coming. So it's funny because everybody's like, "Oh, hip hop." I don't listen to hip hop, but that's just the music. It's fun to hear songs about your favorite characters, you know, your superhero characters, your TV shows, and it's just fun. It's just mostly a beat behind him that he sings along, or raps along to, or talks along to.
I'm sure he puts more effort into it.
Well, I'm sure, no, but I'm just saying I get a lot of people, you know, people are going, oh, I don't like hip-hop. It's like, I really want a full store. Last time, it was kind of sparsely attended. It does cost me a lot of money to have him here. So please come out.
The last time
he he blew us off. But he's coming with Michael Cahill. So please come out Saturday 7, or Friday at 7. It's a long day.
Yeah. But you got to tell him the right day. Or
yeah, I know. Friday, 7 o'clock. So please come down.
Yeah.
Now?
And when's the previews order due?
Oh, previews. Good thing I keep you around. Previews order is due Thursday, so please let me know Thursday. I'll be working on it all night, and I can certainly add. That's never a problem.
Josh is going to be hosting this podcast.
That's fine. I'm spent.
Josh's podcast.
I've been here like...
We're sending you home.
Right now, I've been here like 14 hours. I'm ready to go
home.
Okay, say it.
It's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week.
Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. agenda for extinction. Bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that Tuesday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Like my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio with Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that Doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save your kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Blob when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that Doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah.